is on. The three best friends you never knew you had. Running through the most viral stories of the day. The news junkie Sean Wasson with Sabrina and C-Lane.
The news junkie for a Wednesday, June 20th, 2018. Lots to get to today. From the kids in cages debate rolls on to why politicians should stop trying to help the service industry. And did this guy really shoot himself in the genitals? Plus your calls, dispatches, emails, texts, and more. Hey there, Sabrina.
Happy hump day.
Hello, C-Lane.
How we doing?
Lots going on in the world, and we actually have to start out with, I should have given you a heads up on this, Sabrina. There is a bombshell world exclusive.
Oh, my God.
I mean, legitimately, a bombshell world exclusive.
Wait, what is it called again?
A bombshell world exclusive. To our friends over in Ocala, I mean, legitimately, watch out for the falling bombs today. The U.S. Navy has been just dropping bombs, like real bombs, on the Ocala National Forest.
Oh, no. That's where I go camping.
Is it really? They're dropping bombs on your campgrounds right now. And I saw this story and I said, wow, is this something that they do often? I haven't heard of this all that much. But they just start dropping these bombs in the Pine Castle Range Complex.
Telling the forest it's fat?
God. The Naval Station said jets are also expected to be in the area in the afternoon and evenings with inert bombing. So bombs that just drop and don't explode in the evening and the afternoon. And then in the mornings, real bombs.
Why?
That are exploding for some sort of testing they're doing.
Okay, what about the trees and the animals?
Oh, the animals are not doing so well. The animals, because of the explosions and loud noises, are running onto nearby roads, and it's becoming an issue. So if you live around there, you drive around there, you find yourself around there, watch out. You might see extra stuff out in the road. Be careful. I mean, the bomb's going off in Ocala. What a weird, weird thing. They said it's 2 miles west of Camp Ocala Campgrounds near several hiking trails. Is that by where you go, C-Lane?
I don't know. Let me see.
Camp Ocala Campgrounds.
Well, that's a little bit redundant of a name.
Yeah, they're just dumping these things out of the sky. And here you go.
Welcome to Camp Campsite.
Full explosion. I can imagine just sitting there and you're hunting or you're camping with your family and, you know, the bomb starts dropping down on out of this. What is that up there? Oh, God.
Forgot to get that rid of that last little ping. That's probably not what you're going to hear.
It's a small bomb. I mean, you probably won't hear much, to be honest, because it's going to hit the ground and just completely and totally explode and blow up everything that's around it. Let's go over to Jeremy. Go ahead, Jeremy.
What's going on, guys?
Hey, go ahead.
So I do a lot of hunting out in the Ocala National Forest.
Yeah.
And there's a legitimate bombing range in the forest that you can drive up to with big craters in the ground. And the only thing stopping you from going in there is a tiny metal guardrail, like on the side of the road.
So you could really, you could just walk over this thing if you wanted to.
Anytime you want to.
God, and so do they do this a lot out there? Uh-oh. Did we lose you, Jeremy?
Yep. No more talking about it.
Yeah, they're trying to shut off the truth again.
Yeah, you got bombed.
Let's see here. Paul, go ahead, Paul.
Wow. Hey, Sean, it's Tom.
Yeah, Tom, go ahead, Tom.
Hey. They've had that bombing range up there for almost over 60 years. It's just a big field out there that the Navy controls and runs.
Uh-huh.
No animals are getting hurt.
Okay.
They do security and safety checks before they start missions. It's really old news, man.
But no, they're doing it today and this week with live ammunition, so it's definitely not old.
They've been doing it for over 50 years with live ammunition.
Every year?
So it's current news.
Right. So they've been doing a lot of things for 50 years, but they're doing it right now, so it's current news for the folks who are in Ocala who are seeing this happening right now.
It's nowhere near the city of Ocala. It's north of Altoona, Florida.
Altoona?
Up Highway 19.
And what are you defending, Tom?
He's defending the bombs.
Really passionate about this.
Actually, guys, I like you. Y'all get the facts wrong a lot.
Okay.
Oh my God, it's in the news.
On what? All right, see you later, buddy.
Goodbye.
Just keep it together through
ABC,
one conversation.
Action News, WFTV, Orlando.
Oh, you can't believe those sources. There's nothing true about that.
So I don't understand what he's saying. Like,
I don't know.
Is it not happening or is it happening? We understand that it's been there for a while, but let's also acknowledge that they're still doing it right now.
That it's happening now or throughout the day today.
Also, don't get us all pissed off on a hump day, sir.
Also, I didn't know that there was a bombing range there.
And I didn't
either. Here's a learning moment for the both of us that doesn't have to be, you guys are just getting your facts wrong and you're a bunch of stupid liars.
Fake news.
Yeah, okay, cool. Also, because I didn't know that, say I was somewhere near, I don't know, Ocala and saw planes dropping bombs.
Yeah.
I might think, oh, something weird is going on
sure,
here.
Sure, what is this all about?
So maybe it's nice to tell the people that this goes on, and maybe we're not assholes for not previously knowing this. Talking to you, Tom.
You guys get your facts wrong.
The thing I like the most about this is he says, it's not hurting any animals. Yeah, I mean, the animals get the message, right? They throw out some animal flyers to the animals, and they all go, come on, guys.
No, the animals look up WFTV every morning. The fake news, I guess.
They get on their little squirrel computers. They dial it up. They find out what's happening, and they don't worry when the bomb explosions go off.
It does make me feel better that it's, you know, there's a field for it.
Uh-huh.
So I'm sure animals are avoiding it, or the dumb deer, Steve, that found its way over there probably will not see another day.
Let's go over to Dan. Go ahead, Dan.
Yeah, this has been going on for over 50 years. You hear that all the time. It's a bombing range in Ocala National Forest. There's nothing to it.
All right, nothing to it. Everything's okay?
Everything's okay.
All right, good. All checks out. No worries there. One more. Let's go to Austin. Go ahead, Austin.
Yeah, I actually live out there a couple miles from the bombing range, and they do it, you know, a couple times a year, and it's all blocked off. You can go out there and, you know, watch or whatever, you know, get to a safe distance away.
Can you hear
it? They've been doing it. Yeah, you can feel it. You know, it rattles the house. You know, they put it out in the paper, you know, let you know what days they'll be doing it so no one's surprised. And yeah, they do it all the time, live and fake ammunition.
When they're done, can you just descend upon the range and pick up shrapnel?
I've never gone out there after the bombings,
that's
but
good.
Like I said, living out here for years, you feel it. It shakes the house.
Yeah, I don't doubt that. I don't think they would want people out there. What if there was, like, unexplode ordinances or something? Though I'm sure they try. Don't hit me with those calls, too. This is totally normal, Sean. Everything that's happening happens. All right, just for those folks, they are doing it. They do it a couple of times a year.
For the last 50 years.
Right now happens to be one of those times. So there we go. Those of you out there in Ocala, beware if you don't already know. Maybe you're new there and it's just happening. You're hearing, oh, what was that? The hell was that over there? And you need to be aware.
I heard John Travolta was spotted in Ocala recently. That's fun.
Oh, I see. I see. You're talking about Gotti, the movie? That was a bomb?
No. Oh. I'm talking about the fact that he lives there and that people call it, John Travolta has lived here for 30 years and we're nice to him. We don't talk to him.
I thought you were going with Gotti is a bomb, and that's what was the tie-in.
That's just a really, really lucky coincidence.
Well, there's so much talk about this movie now, actually, this terrible-looking John Gotti flick with John Travolta in it. And now they said there's a lot of people thinking that the movie company behind this, the production company, is sending out people to put in user reviews. Because we heard that the critic reviews of Gotti were zero. Tomato review, Rotten Tomatoes was 0%, which is going to scare people away from your film. All of a sudden, they started advertising, the reviewers don't like it, but the people love it.
Yeah.
And there were so many reviews from people, it didn't make sense comparatively with the box office numbers and everything they were doing. Good God, I went around to see some people who were talking about Gotti to see what they thought about it, to see if that matched up with the user reviews.
Gotti is about John Gotti and stuff, and John Travolta plays the role of John Gotti. This is basically him becoming the rise of power of the Teflon mob family, of the Gambino mob family in New York City and stuff. His incarceration, his rise and fall to power with his son, his wife, his daughter, and all that. It's about John Gotti, and this movie is fucking garbage.
Garbage! Not so good, he says.
No, but I'm tired of, you know, taking everyone's word for it at this point. Everyone seems to just go to movies to see what they hate about it.
Well, in this case, they're saying that they're faking the user reviews, though, which would be weird as hell to do, but I get why they would do it. Like, is it possible for a movie to have a zero Rotten Tomatoes and then a 70-something user review? Like, could there be that big of a disconnect?
Yeah,
between the reviewers and the people. Have you ever seen a movie that had really, really low Rotten Tomatoes and you watched it and you were like, Freddy Got Fingered is fantastic?
I just made sure, just want to make sure I could pull that later. I have, and it's a little disappointing and discouraging when you do see like a 3% on Rotten Tomatoes but end up enjoying it. Mm-hmm. It may not be what the critics are looking for in a film, but if people go there and still enjoy it for how corny it is, then I think that it deserves a review for that.
Well, that's why they have the difference between the two of them. And there are a lot of people, like we talked about this movie, what's the damn scary one that's out there now?
Hereditary.
Hereditary was one where the reviewers are like 92% and the user reviews are like 50, and there's this big gap. And that really impacts the bottom line of a lot of these production companies. So what they may be doing, it's not crazy or out of the picture, it's just getting hordes of people to go over there just like businesses do. You know, a damn hot dog stand might send a couple of friends over there to go, these hot dogs are the best hot dogs in the world.
Is that weird that, you know, I've been to a place where they've offered me 10% off what I'm purchasing if I go and leave a review?
Mm-hmm. Oh, I've been to a place that offered the same thing if I talk about them on the radio.
Oh, really? Yeah, but the discount on that should be a little bit better. When you do that, I don't think there's anything wrong with it as long as you're being honest. And I guess as long as these Gotti people are being real about it.
Now, Sabrina witnessed the worst of them all, where somebody who wants to, say, get some good reviews for their cellular telephone repair shop might participate in a local bar crawls,
scavenger hunt,
race scavenger hunt kind of thing.
Yeah, no one can move forward unless you showed them the 5-star review you left on Google.
Yeah, that kind of stuff, when you look at it, it makes you question the reviews that are out there. Watch out for that potential bomb. And watch out for the bombs in the Ocala National Forest.
I'm looking at the pictures of this bombing range.
Yeah.
Or at least the entrance. And it's a huge sign. U.S. Navy bombing range. Live bombing exercises may be in progress. Unexploded ordnance, just like you meant. You say there might be unexploded bombs. Do not enter. Looks pretty like...
Does it look scary?
There's a little daunting.
It would be cool to be the pilot who got to hit the button on the bomb dropping.
And to answer your question, it is exactly, let me see, measured distance, 6.12 miles south of where I camp. So
it's not too far.
You better not miss.
Hopefully they're on target. They're professionals, I think. They know what they're doing, right? Lots of stuff going on in the news today. Your dispatches, irate or not, will roll in when we come back. Plus the latest on this immigration story that's gripped the nation. What is going on there and what's going on with this vote that is scheduled for tomorrow that may make a change in everything that people have been arguing about. Details on that and so much more next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Nobody else is going to put up with your nonsense.
Call now, toll free, 888-978-1041.
Real Radio.
104.1.
The biggest stories of the day in all their glory and insanity. You're listening to the News Junkie.
Let's check out your dispatches in just a moment, sent through the News Junkie app. Now I just want to troll everybody. Right now, for the first time ever, there are bombs dropping on Ocala. Never has happened before.
And I heard it's in an attempt to get rid of this brand new tribe of people that happen to worship the rainbow.
Yeah.
That just got to Ocala and have never been in the forest before.
Mm-hmm. One by one, they're going to knock them out.
And they don't have an area for it. They're just going to drop it in the middle of the forest on top of... Shrek's little cottage there and all the sweet animals that were featured in Snow White.
I think what they said was fire at will is usually what I hear in the movies.
Yeah, that's what every single resident in Ocala has been telling us. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's the information, just to get it out there in case you guys were wondering. Maybe you've heard that this has been around for a brand new thing just now happening. Talking about the immigration debate and what's been happening here, and this story has just exploded as much as a story can explode. And I feel so caught in between lunacy in the discussion of this at so many junctures here. And I just want to give you a little example, just a roundup. Starting on, this is just the the dichotomy of what you can see in spending a little bit of time watching one network and then going over to another and seeing just how far they let it run on either one of those. So let's start off over here. Listen to this.
Well, the images suggest those of concentration camps, families being cut apart.
I know children are being marched away to showers. I know they're being marched away to showers. Being told they are, just like the Nazis had said that they were taking people to showers and then they never came back.
Look, bottom line, Donald Trump increasingly looks like Hitler and Nazi Germany. These look like concentration
camps.
Dave,
it's rewarding breaking our immigration laws.
It is cruel, unusual punishment, John. I said this yesterday, but increasingly Donald Trump is turning this nation into Nazi Germany and turning these into concentration camps.
Same thing.
What's happening is very American in that this is how the country was founded. This is what happened 76 years ago to Japanese Americans in internment camps.
Now look. I know we're not Nazi Germany, all right?
Ooh.
But there is a commonality there.
Oh.
I knew it would be controversial, but I felt a warning flare
obviously
was necessary.
You're so concerned about what's going on.
Yeah.
And all of us are so concerned. We see these heartbreaking images, and it's so awful.
And this is a policy that is inhumane, indecent, un-American, completely dictatorial. And like I said yesterday, they are the tactics that have been used through history by the worst purveyors of pure evil, including slave traders, including Nazis, including terrorists.
There you go.
And now this great country is using them as well, and we should all be ashamed.
Nazis, Japanese internment, and even people like George Takei, whose family was interned during World War II under FDR, is saying, like, this is the same thing. He said, at least during internment, I was just 5 years old, and I wasn't taken from my parents. And all these comparisons, I mean, these are just insane in the nature of the comparison between something like internment of Japanese Americans who violated no laws, who were rounded up by their own government, more than 100,000 of them, for no reason other than the fact that they were Japanese, put in these internment camps for years on end, and there was not a single crime committed. That is not comparable to a situation where you have somebody breaking the law by coming across the border and ending up in this situation. As terrible as it is, you got to keep it in the lane a little bit and make sure you're not saying they're marching these kids to showers. The difference between marching these kids that are in these camps along the border that DHS and other organizations are running is when they go to the shower, they get soap and shampoo and come back. When the Nazis brought the Jews to the shower, it was to gas them and kill them by the millions and millions and millions.
And this should be offensive to Jews. There's probably not a whole lot of Holocaust survivors left that are listening or paying attention to this particular thing going on. And I would hope that they're not, because if I had gone through that and then watching this much less thing happen and going and listening to everybody go, it's just like the Nazis, just like the Nazis, just like the Nazis, I would be like, I dial it back a little bit. I was there.
I can understand. It's for the shock value. It's to get attention to it. It's not comparable to what happened in Nazi Germany, but it's still bad. It's not something to,
of course
to
it
be.
Is.
You know, just put off, and where it is compared is how I think how the children are being treated or what they're being held in. I mean, it's still traumatic for these kids. That's what is so frustrating. It's like, well, they're breaking the law or this is how it's supposed to be done. But it's like no one's considering the effect that's going to have on these children.
And that's the key thing. But these are news organizations. They're telling this to millions of people. And let's take a ride on the other side, right? I mean, this is why I'm saying, and I think the average person just watching this is going, what the hell is happening? You have got Steve Cortez arguing on behalf of the Trump administration, talking about invaders, invaders, invaders.
You, Steve, are calling them invaders.
If you come across our border without permission, you are an invader. There's no other word to describe
it. Okay, so your colleagues say it's immigration. It's inhumane.
I love immigration.
Obviously you don't.
We know that pediatricians say it can cause lifelong harm. I don't want to even ask you what you'd think if it happened to you and your own children, because I know the answer. You'd think it was an abomination. You'd be heartbroken, like anybody else would.
The children are the victims.
Why do you use the word
conversation.
Invaders? They're not coming with guns. They're coming because they want to be part of this country,
not because they want to destroy the country. Aaron, their parents are the invaders.
And on they go with that. Now this, which was the dumbest, most tone-deaf thing I've ever seen. And I think anybody following the Trump administration knows that Corey Lewandowski is a pretty miserable, terrible person. But they're having a discussion, right? Corey Lewandowski is talking on behalf of the Trump administration, and they mentioned that there were some families where they got disconnected from the children, which is another significant problem that they need to fix with protocols and other things. And when they mentioned that there was a kid who had some mental development issues and who was disconnected from his family, Corey Lewandowski goes, womp, womp. Like, audibly says in the background, just in case you don't think it happened, here it is.
Look, I read today about a 10-year-old girl with Down syndrome who was taken from her mother and put in a cage. I read about a 10-year-old with Down syndrome being taken from her mother. How dare you?
What a tone deaf.
How dare you, sir?
Absolutely foolish, stupid thing to say.
Why? How is that the first thing that pops in his head?
That's the attitude that's being portrayed and supposed
to influence others. Like, people that don't know what's going on, they're going to listen to that and that think that's how everyone should feel about it.
I agree, but I think that's true for the people doing Nazi and Japanese internment comparisons. That there is this is radical representation where people are taking the football and running all the way past the end zone and beyond, and you're going, what is happening here? 70-plus percent of people who were polled thought that this is not the proper way to handle things, right? They thought that we need to have a better way to handle things. There's already bills. They're going to be voting on one tomorrow. I hope that it passes. I really do, because I think that they need to change the way the system is working, right? I also have tried through this to make sure people keep arguing based on some of the facts that are actually out there, rather than things they're hearing over and over again, which just radicalize everybody. And then you go, you're either this or you're this. It's either Nazi or womp womp. Come on. I mean, if we're stuck in between Nazi and womp womp, what the hell is happening here? Is this simply the cable news networks taking the most radical people they can? In some cases, those were hosts of the shows. That was Joe Scarborough who was talking about marching the kids to the showers at the beginning there. And you just say, why is this going this way? And I know there's so many different arguments. And I know the people now, the new thing is Democrats are saying they don't support the Cruz bill, which is a great, clean bill. I've read it. There's absolutely nothing wrong with it.
All 900 pages?
There's about eight, ten pages or something. The Feinstein bill, which is a dozen pages, I didn't think was too bad, but it leaves open some loose ends that would cause issues with people being arrested for other offenses too close to the border. So they've got to buckle that up and get it going. One of these needs to be voted on. I hear that it's going to happen tomorrow, and I hope it's the Cruz bill, and I hope they stop doing this. I hope they make the process better for these families, and I hope people start to think about our immigration policy as a whole. And I do just absolutely love watching how Mexico handles all of this. And this is the thing that nobody's talking about. This is the thing that nobody seems to mention in all this. These families right now, the families I'm talking about, not the majority of people crossing the border, the families that are coming over are from Guatemala, Honduras, El Salvador. They're from a handful of countries that have a lot of internal strife going right now. And they march their way right through Mexico. Like, talk about loose ends. I don't know if everybody remembers the story of this caravan of thousands of people with families and kids. They marched their way through Central America and up through Mexico, which is a long ways, and all the way up to the U.S. border. And Mexican authorities were hailing them and clapping, and they were saying, you know, these people deserve better. And then they got to the U.S. border, and they were turned away because that's not how our immigration process works. And then they went back to Mexico City, where, again, they clapped, they applauded them, and then they said, what do we do now? They said, you can stay in this shelter for 48 hours, and then you need to get the hell out of here and go back to your country because we don't deal with illegal immigration. Mexico wants to be a port that just injects these people from Central America into the United States. If it's truly about getting them away from destitution and issues and violence that they're facing, there are plenty of places in Mexico that they could stop along the way if they really cared about this. It's a game of pretend. And that's what they keep doing over and over and over here.
But so what are we saying? Mexico, stop pretending, and so we don't have to deal with immigrants?
I would say that Mexico would be better suited to handle people who are coming from Central.
Why?
Because they're closer to the countries in question.
I mean, if people are willing to travel, you know, thousands of miles past Mexico to have a better opportunity, a better life here for their family, then, I mean, there's a reason why they're not stopping in Mexico to begin with.
Well, the reason why they're not stopping in Mexico is because they'd rather go to the United States of America. And they know
who
that
wouldn't?
Because they know that Mexico, well, I don't have a problem with Mexico. I mean, what's wrong with Mexico other than they've got some issues in border towns and they've got gang violence rampant in certain places? There are places in Mexico that are plenty safe, that have jobs and opportunity for these people, and will be closer to where they come from. And that is these Central American countries. And the whole thing is really losing the sight of the fact that there is a process for this. You go to particular ports and places to file for asylum claims. You go to particular websites and governmental institutions to file for green cards. We give away like a million of them a year.
Yes, and I understood of the process, and there are people that go through that process every day, and there are a lot of people who just don't have that time. Like, if their kids are in such terrible situations and they're surrounded by a corrupt government, they can't wait 6 to 8 weeks for that to process. They
sure
want to have a better life for their child immediately,
which is
for their family immediately.
Which is why wouldn't they just stop in Mexico?
In Mexico, I don't think is like this grand place that will have resources and places for people. Yeah, there are certain cities that are perhaps very populated and up to par, I guess, to house immigrants or people that need safety.
So the United States is the only place that these people can go to get out of the trouble of their Central American countries?
No, but it's a greater option. I mean, we are the most powerful country in the world. Why can't we help other people who are not in a good situation?
But I think the argument is that's what we do. That's what we do, and there's a process for it. And the process isn't just crossing the border. Mind you, if an American citizen with their family crosses this border, it's illegal. If you go there as an American across that border, that's not where you go to migrate from one country to another. That's just not how the process works for anybody.
Yeah, I know, but an American citizen isn't going to Mexico to run away or get into a better situation. They're going to party in Tijuana or Cancun.
Sure.
And then have no problem going back into the country and getting a roof over their heads and food and all that. Like, these families are leaving for a reason.
Of course they are. And they should find a place to stay if they believe in immediate danger. I believe that place should be a country that is closest to them that can help them get through this time. And then file for a green card and try to get into this country. Because I think it's a great country. I think the immigrant experience has been something that really shows what America can do. But you have to have a rule of law. You have to have a way for people to get in. And you can't just have open borders, which some people seem to be arguing for. I mean, I see this all over television, basically nonstop now. And I see people that are just completely losing it over things that aren't new. I mean, last night was Rachel Maddow breaking down in tears over this facility for tender age kids. It's like, oh my God, tender age shelters.
What's tender age?
Like, toddlers and babies.
Really young kids. Okay, and that sounds horrific, and that's bad. They also did this in 2010. They also have facilities that they filed for under the previous administration for people who are mentally handicapped and physically handicapped to be at these places. Because there has to be a process, because they continue to do it. Not everything is Nazi. Not everything is terrible. And if we could finally get together on simple facts in this, and just say, hey, let's try to keep the families together, like multiple bills in the House and Senate are trying to do, well, maybe we get somewhere. And maybe we bring some other people from the right side of the aisle on board by saying, hey, these tent cities separating the kids from the families, it's actually more expensive than everything else that we're doing. Let's go over to Lisa. Go ahead, Lisa.
You don't understand the people from Mexico. They only have a limited amount of visas that they'll give them. You don't just go and fill out an application.
So do we.
They only give them only certain amount. If you're from Russia, the Bahamas, or any one of those places, they're giving you away. They're like giving you, like, they're begging you to come to this country. But Mexico, the Philippines, Haiti, all those countries where the government, the people have no, they can't help themselves where they were born. If they're poor, this is the closest place for them to come. They can't go buy a plane ticket and fly somewhere.
What are you saying? That are you saying that? Are you saying
when life gets so hard?
Are you saying that Mexico only takes a limited number of people?
No, I'm saying the United States only issues
of course,
Mexico
a
limited amount of visas. There's people that's been waiting for 20 years. They filed the right way and they've been waiting 20 years. Some of them been murdered, killed, waiting to do it the legal way.
Right, and I don't think that's the case with most of the people who file through the process. We approve a million green cards a year. We allow people to turn into citizens in record numbers. And if you ever go to one of these border states, you're not going to not see a giant population of people from Mexico and Central America. And there's a lot of reasons for that. But one is because beyond the illegal immigration, there's a system for people to get in the country. And let's not get bogged down in that. How about the fact that what started all of this was about the kids? Now is this just becoming, it's not about the kids, it's about anybody in these facilities?
No, but the problem with this is that the kids are without their parents, what could be months, what could be longer than that, waiting for this process. I mean,
and it shouldn't be that
yes,
way.
Yes, it is quick, maybe for some people. It definitely helps if you have the funds for it. But I mean, I know people in my life growing up that are still waiting for that. I've had teachers that had spent a good portion of their lives, a decade of their lives, on a visa, and it was just taken away. And there they were, like, had to leave the country that they had established and raise their family.
Right. But this is a good point to sit and reflect for a second. Is this about kids in these facilities, or is this about now every immigrant in America?
Well, the kids in these facilities are without their parents while the parents are doing, you know, going through the regular process. And
well, that's not the regular process. The regular process is for them, if they're claiming asylum, to go through one of the proper channels on the border and claim asylum, and then they go through the process, and they do not separate them from their families when they do that. That's the regular process. This is people illegally going into the country and then starting the process of them being illegal migrants into the United States of America, which does now end with the separation of the children and families. But is it about the kids? Or is it now just about every single person who's trying to get into the United States? I think the focus here should be on what is a bad moral decision to separate the kids from the families. I hope when they vote on this tomorrow, they make the right decision and Congress passes something that will help out here. There's so much misinformation out there. I would encourage anybody listening to any of this stuff, if you have a vested interest in it, to actually look. And it's hard right now to find accurate information because so many people are trying to mislead you. But when you dig in, I promise you'll find it's much more complicated than most people are thinking. We'll get to your dispatches when we come back. In trouble at the World Cup, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Confirming all reports
and some of your biggest fears.
You're listening to the News Junkie, Sean Wasson.
Wild to watch the outrage with this immigration debate going on right now. And one of my favorite things is watching the C-SPAN callers. I don't know if you guys have ever seen the C-SPAN call-in shows where they have like a different line for Republicans and then Democrats and independents. And people call up and they let them say whatever they want. And sometimes it's just absolute insanity that's happening.
And don't they not have a delay too? People just get on there and they wait a long time and they have a worthwhile story.
Uh-huh.
And then they just get on there and whatever.
I don't think there's any delay because I've heard curse words before, yeah, for sure. I don't understand how some of these people are even following along. There was a guy who called today, a 69-year-old man from Maryland, and he's like at the Wawa and he just can't hold back anymore. And he's got to call up C-SPAN and give his opinion on what's happening with these migrant families.
Edgewood, Maryland, independent line.
Yeah, hello, Pedro.
He's inside the Wawa.
You're on, go ahead.
Hello.
You're on. Go ahead.
Come on, man.
Yeah, my name's Vernon. Hold on. Let me go outside. I'm at the Walmart getting a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I like
thanks,
to make a couple
Vernon.
Comments, especially like the last fellow you just had on there. He said it's worse than what the Nazis were. At least the Nazis were humane and kept the families together. Yeah, I guess they did while they took them in a gas chamber. How can he compare the Nazis to what we're doing?
All's well in the world.
Ridiculous. Anyway, let me ask a quick question to all your experts. Why is it that an American citizen can commit a misdemeanor, and if you don't have bail money, you go to jail, and if you're a single parent, you don't have any relatives in town, child services, take your children, don't put them in foster homes right away. They put them in a thing almost similar to what they're doing, and you go to jail. They don't worry about whether you're nursing a child or whether you separate the parent and the child.
There's a lot of people making that same exact argument. Mm-hmm. You can't get away from it, actually.
Wait, so is this guy listening or watching C-SPAN as he does his daily activities? He's that dedicated?
I guess you could stream C-SPAN. I'm wondering how at a Wawa he's tuned into C-SPAN.
I mean, imagine being in line at Jimmy John's and the guy behind you is like, "Hi, Bill. First time caller, long time listener. I really just think that how could they compare it to the Nazis?"
God, you get your coffee, man. Relax a little bit. This is a serious issue, but you can squeeze in a Wawa coffee, I think, without getting on C-SPAN. To some dispatches sent through the News Junkie app. Let's see what's on your mind, what you're thinking about, what's happening. Here's I'm a Nerd with a dispatch.
Hey, what up, junkies?
Hey.
I just wanted to throw my two cents in really quick on this immigration and people coming here illegally. Typically, Sabrina, I agree with everything you say. Not everything,
stop,
but most
stop
things.
It right there.
And I understand you got a big heart.
Just shut it and leave it there.
Trying to be compassionate for these people. But like it's like Sean says, man. I mean, we can't just be opening the floodgates. I mean, that's like, you know, the ship's sinking and you're just going to let everyone on the ship on this one lifeboat.
I thought we were talking about kids.
You're going to take it under. Like, we can only do so much. We can only do so much, you know, at certain times. And I think just allowing us to just open the borders and let everyone come here is not a good thing.
Well, I'm not saying that.
Not based on their race or where they're from, just in general. I mean,
it feels, I think what he's saying is it feels right now like there's a shift happening.
I'm not saying or have implied if I did, then, you know, I'm not saying open the floodgates. Obviously, we just have to revisit this process. But at the same time, like separating the families, it is about the children. If there is a better way of going about this where it doesn't have this kind of effect on families that are just trying to do better for their families, then let's do it. Opening the floodgates, absolutely not. That's not something that we could do, and it shouldn't be done that way, but there has to be another way where, I mean, who knows what the long-term effects are going to be on these children?
Oh, it's bad. It's bad from the stuff that I've seen, the psychologist and anybody who understands what this process is like. A lot of these kids are right there in the formative years, and a lot of them aren't even with their parents to begin with, and it's sort of like thrown out into this world. And mind you, we're not even considering some of the more minor things that are going on. There is a crazy bad storm hitting the border right now, and everything is flooding like crazy. Like, it's just lumping things on to make it even worse than it actually is. There are people that seem to be switching the debate here, though. Things are changing. I'm all for a better situation for kids who are flat-out victims. Flat-out victims, whether their parents sent them through no fault of their own by themselves, or whether they went with their parents and now they're stripped away. They had nothing to do with this decision. So that is something that I'm all for. It's some changing that's happening where the debate seems to be switching, which is grabbing attention. Here is a Smackerel with a dispatch.
Hey, what's up, junkies?
Hey.
I'm out here doing what I do. Got the shiny side up, the rubber side down. Anyway, I want to remind everybody that enjoyed Millionaire Murderer that tonight on an Investigation Discovery at 10 o'clock is the Kim Kane story, 1 hour.
That's right.
I bet it's going to be good.
Oh, it looks uncomfortable.
I'm going to have to DVR it, watch it later, but I know I'm going to watch it. Well, y'all have a great day. See ya.
There you go, Smackerel. Yes, indeed, that is tonight on Investigation Discovery.
Is your audio on it? Like,
no,
are you gonna,
they hate me. They just, all the groundwork I did, they listened to the show, contacted everybody involved, and then just gave me just like
the
side
eye. What's up to you?
Not even like two fingers in the air, not even like a hat tip to me, like, hey, you've done some of the digging here. None of that stuff. But it looks, there's some sections of the preview that I saw that are like, whoo.
Maybe even like a special thanks to in the credits?
No. I haven't gotten any calls about the spelling of my name or any links they should place anywhere.
What in the hell did I get myself into?
Absolutely nothing.
Yeah, nothing, yeah. Apparently. Zero. Nothing, not a hat tip, not a smile, not a wave in my general direction.
Well, I will be tweeting like crazy tonight, calling them out for what they've done.
Well, it looks interesting, and I think afterwards they're working on some things to sort of wrap up the millionaire murder angle on things, and that should be happening before too long. For those of you interested, it's a show called Reasonable Doubt. It is on tonight, and if you followed along with the Millionaire Murder series, you might want to watch this. There's interviews with a lot of people that even I couldn't chase down. And it looks, I'm telling you, there's some parts in it where you're like, ooh, it's a little uncomfortable. So we'll watch that tonight, talk about it perhaps afterwards, and then have a wrap-up to the series and rant about how much I hate that they didn't give me any credit for it. Here's Melbourne Hot Dog.
I got a message for Tom. There are 60,000 people currently living in Ocala right now, and not all of them watch the news on TV, not all of them listen to the news on the radio, and not all of them listen to the news junkie like you do. So guess what? Not everyone's going to know that there's a bombing going on in Ocala, and not all of them
first time ever
lived there for 15 years. So get off your freaking high horse, bro.
50, bud.
Nobody cares. Listen to the news junkie and shut your mouth. Bye.
Bombs everywhere. Bombs in Ocala, folks. For the very first time ever. There's so many dispatches like this. Let's see if I could just give you a quick
give our defenders.
There's so many people who are like, 50 years.
Hey, news junkie. That bombing range you're referring to up in Ocala has been operational now for
50 years.
Upwards of 40 years.
Oh, he says 40. What about this one?
What's up, news junkies? There's been a bombing range in Ocala for like 50 years. Right? You didn't know that. What in the hell?
Yeah, what the hell, man? A bunch of dummies. Oh, good God. There's so much to get to today. I'll get to this World Cup story, which is so creepy. And also a story about what's happening with the people in the service industry. Maybe the politicians should stop helping on that front. Details next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Someday Alexa will do everything. Yeah. Alexa, can you take the dog for a walk?
Ha ha ha. No way in hell.
But until then, tell her to play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
Playing Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
From the show that takes you from Skywall Summer to Jack Rocket Ball. This is the News Junkie.
Check out your dispatches from the News Junkie app. If you're new to the show, all you have to do is download it. We can show you stuff that we're talking about. You don't have to wait on the phone forever. You can send in a dispatch, create your own personality on the show. It's easy. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. A new show on ABC is starting to get some attention. I look at this stuff and I go, wow, there's still people who do this. I thought marriage was something that people were seeking and taking seriously. And you go out there and you try to find somebody that you connect with and you want to spend the rest of your life with. Hell, we've got some people that we all know together. You know, Sabrina and C-Land, we have people who are getting married right now. I think, C-Land, you're going to a wedding this weekend,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, down in Key West.
Mm-hmm.
I go watch some friends get hitched.
Now, do you know how this couple met? The couple that's going to be getting married down in Key West?
Yes, I do.
Sounds like you can't share it with us.
No, I can
that
share.
Weird?
No.
Tinder?
It wasn't Tinder. No, they met because one was dating the other's roommate. And
is that person invited to the wedding? Or?
Oh, no, they won't be there. They're not going to be there.
Okay. Well, you know, you meet people in various and mysterious ways sometimes. I don't know if this show that I watched a little bit of on ABC is the way to do it. Have you guys seen anything for The Proposal at all? Have you seen this?
I haven't seen it, but I know it. The description is, I may be getting it wrong. They're meeting this person for the first time,
yep.
Or is it a competition in which it's narrowed down?
I'm telling you, we just got past the place where for Miss America, Miss USA, whichever one it was, they got rid of the bikini contest and that kind of stuff. This is straight up an old school pageant. And somebody, one of the people sits behind in this little booth They call it the pod. And then all these potential wives or husbands come out in bikinis and bathing suits.
Oh, God.
And they look at them and then they go through this whole process. And then at the end, they're like, will you marry me? And they get engaged. And I guess some of the couples are still together, which is unbelievable to me.
I feel really, really stupid right now because I didn't hear when you said ABC television show. I just heard, have you guys seen any of The Proposal? And I don't know why I instantly went to the Ryan Reynolds, Sandra Bullock rom-com. The Proposal, where he proposes to her to get her a green card.
That's not embarrassing. It's a great rom-com.
You know, why do I get all this flack for mentioning, like, one Julia Roberts movie?
Every day.
And over here, this guy's talking about a rom-com right in the middle of an ABC television show thing. The Dating Game is catching fire, at least they want it to be. And they go through this whole process, and then it sounds surreal, but right at the end there, they ask the other person who they've never met, they've never spent any time with, they've only seen in a bathing suit, they've only seen, like, maybe answer some questions or something. That person, you could go, will you marry me? And they go, yes, I will. And then the music plays, the doves take off in the background, and when you walk backstage, they go, oh, did I tell you I'm a Nazi? Like, there could be a moment there where you go, oh, what am I getting into? They said one of the couples that was involved in this show is still together. I don't know when they filmed this. I imagine it was months ago. But the couple is still together. Maybe that's how you find love out there, folks. Whether it be through Tinder or email or whatever. Blind dates. I know that's a big thing on YouTube right now. People are just filming blind dates. Taking you back to the old school days of that show, Blind Date, on television.
I loved that show.
All the pop-up stuff that was going on.
Yeah, and there were always really little cheesy little comments. Like,
Oh, no, you're thinking of the Sandra Bullock and Ryan Reynolds movie.
No, I know Blind Dates.
They would have the countdown timer to get things get awkward in 5,
yeah,
4,
yeah.
Pff, when a bomb would drop. Life's changing, folks, and however you find the love that you're looking for, good for you, and enjoy all of that. In Washington, D.C., voters have approved a ballot initiative that will restructure the way restaurants and bars pay tipped employees. And to the elected officials in Washington, D.C., I'll say this. Stop trying to help people in the service industry. This is one of those things that passed. It was called Initiative 77. It got 55% of the vote. And I bet if you looked at the percentage of people from the service industry that were voting for this, it wasn't 55%. People in the service industry who work at some of the, especially in D.C., that work at these nice places, they're killing it. They're killing it. They don't need your help to bring up a minimum wage when they are people who make their money off of buku tips. That's how they work. Currently, they make as little as $3.33 per hour. However, the employer is legally required to make up the difference if the employee's salary plus tips add up to less than the current minimum wage of $12.50, okay? So if you're not following that, they make $3.33 per hour. But if they pull in their tips and it's less than $12.50 per hour, the employer already pays them more than minimum wage. The ballot initiative requires employers to pay everybody at least the minimum wage, bringing that money from $3.33 up to $12.50 per hour, making the labor wages skyrocket, making them have to fire some employees and go short-staffed, making the employees have to be in a situation where people pay more for the meals that they're facing and get less out of the tips, and it just ends up hurting people you're pretending to want to help. That's the real problem with stuff like this. The ballot initiative has passed, though, with a 55% margin. And that's what they're looking at right now. And there are people all over the country in the service industry who go, what are we doing here? We don't need to do this. This is not something that's going to help us. In fact, it's going to make us a hell of a lot less money. And some of them are even doing the math. What happens if we do this? What happens if we do that? And they don't like what they're coming up with at the end of all of this. Revisiting a story we talked about yesterday real quick. The mother who was with this young kid who ended up trashing a $132,000 statue. And the place where they were at, this kid was kind of crawling along and hit the statue and it broke. said, nope, insurance is not paying for it. You are on the hook for $132,000. Huge reaction to that yesterday. So before we get into some of your dispatches, the mother did an interview. Here she is.
The event wasn't fancy. It wasn't at a gallery or a museum. It was at a community center with a gymnasium, workout equipment, basketball, ping pong. It's a typical place with event rooms where they hold children's birthday parties. There was actually three parties simultaneously going on during the wedding reception.
Uh-huh.
And in the midst of all that, there was a temporary art display going on the open lobby area.
Very temporary.
We're familiar with the facility. We've been there many times.
Previous times that they went to the facility, the kid did not break $132,000 worth of statues.
Children are comfortable with the layout.
Too comfortable.
And in general, the rules being there, there's, like I said, basketball and ping pong just 10 feet away from where the sculpture was actually placed.
Yeah, so I mean, that leads you to believe this place. You got basketball and ping pong, if that's true. You got to watch stuff like that. And the facility is saying the family has to pay for all of this. And the insurance isn't going to pick up any of the tab. And the family's going, what the hell? This would be like all the college money, all the money we have saved up. Goes back to that argument of who's responsible. Should you have to pay for people putting expensive things around places where kids are? To the dispatches, here is Sombrero Guy with a dispatch.
Happy hump day, news junkies. Sombrero Guy here. Just chiming in on the bombings out in Ocala. I work out in DeLand, so we can actually hear those things going off.
Oh, God.
And, yeah, it's been going on for a while. But, I mean, I never know when they go off. Sometimes it's random. So thank you guys for letting me know.
There you go.
To the guy earlier calling you guys, whatever he said, he can piss off. Y'all have a great day. Wiggle, wiggle, pop, pop, bounce, chicka, wow, wow.
Thank you, Sombrero Guy. Here is Gozinia.
Over 10,000 of the 12,000 children that you're talking about came here without their parents to begin with.
Can you not eat a sandwich during the dispatch? Over 10,000. All right, you're talking about the child immigration debate, and they've got all these kids in this country. Yes, many of them are unaccompanied minors or people who were not with their parents.
They came with coyotes.
Yeah, they're even talking about DNA testing the people who come with these kids to see if there's a family connection.
They were sent here with strangers. The liberal mind is just unbelievable. The left just wants you to think that we're not caring about this, but they're sending the kids over here by themselves with strangers.
It just makes me want to eat a
sandwich. I get that they want a better life.
But it's egg salad.
Everybody does.
Always egg salad.
But don't twist it. Please.
Please.
Do some research.
Could you have thought of anything stickier?
Oh, my God. It's pissing me off.
Oh, you'll be okay. It's just like mowing down on something. It sounded very thick. There was some mayo in that. Mm. Appreciate it. Let's go over to I Am Batman.
I'm putting this out there, you know, that you just played that one lady saying our great nation. What's so great about it? We're overrun by people, and like that guy said, the invaders, they are invaders. You come in illegally, you're breaking a crime. You're breaking
a crime.
And whatever happens to them, happens, okay? Nobody's moaning and groaning about you know, criminals, children, you know, people are United States citizens that we put in prison.
Okay.
Nobody's complaining about what happens to their children.
Well said.
I heard criminal children, United States, breaking a crime.
Yeah, I think there's stuff happening actively about this whole situation that's got everybody talking. When that does occur, we'll certainly let you know about it. Meanwhile, the World Cup is happening, and there's a lot of teams out there soccering it up, footballing it up, whatever you'd like to say. There was a video that's going viral of Julius Gonzalez Theron, a reporter for a German TV news channel, Dutch Well. She's broadcasting from the World Cup, and right in the middle of it, some guy grabs her, brings her up to his face, kisses her on the cheek, and runs away.
All right.
Right in the middle of this whole thing, she just continues to roll on like nothing happened. She was incredibly professional about a very unprofessional situation she was facing there. A lot of worry about how the fans are handling themselves at the World Cup. Back in just a moment, it's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
You're listening to the News Junkie. Junkie. Sean Wasson.
I need you.
I need some help from those of you who are much more well-versed on firearms than I, because there's a video going viral right now, and I know you're going to see this at some point, so maybe let's hop in front of it and see if this is actually real or not. And I want to think it's real simply because of this boneheaded FBI agent we had not too long ago, which I still can't get over that video, where the guy is on the dance floor, does a flip, drops his gun down on the ground, then makes the dumbest decision of all the dumb decisions and goes to pick up his gun by the trigger. And as he's doing that, he ends up firing off a bullet at somebody across the dance floor. And so you see that stuff and you go, you shouldn't have a gun until you had a couple more classes on acting responsibly with it. So the one going around today, it shows this guy, and I don't know who the hell he is, but it almost seems like a joke or something. He's in some facility, and he's kind of futzing around with his handgun, and it looks to be kind of pointing it in weird directions. Do you have it up over there, C-Lane? You can walk us through maybe a little better.
Yeah, he's talking to somebody about it. Did you? I don't think there's any cursing in
Let me see. I actually have that. Let's see if we can hear.
Best way to combine them together is secure.
I said, somebody, the best way to combine them, he's playing with the gun right now. So he's playing with the gun. He looks to be kind of moving it around in an unsafe way, at least to me. Is this up on See It Now?
It's going up right now.
All right. It'll be up in just a moment on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. That's where we talk about something. You can actually see it. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store to get it if you don't. And then those of you who know a little bit more about guns, tell me if this is real or if this is fake so we can get out ahead of this. Because the guy's messing with the gun in the video you'll see. And then he puts it down the front of his pants, and all he does is bend over. He just kind of leans over, and the gun fires, and he supposedly shoots himself in the penis and just fires around right through his genitals, which, I mean, it just doesn't seem like that's how a gun works or should work. I think you're going to hear it in just a second as the gun fires right there.
Call 911 right now.
Call 911. Shot myself in the penis.
Oh, boy.
You hear that moment there. And it's supposed to be, all he does is just lean over. Again, go check it out in the See It Now section of the News Junkie app so you can see this. And tell me if this is fake. Because it just, there's see something wrong with the idea that you bend over and then the gun fires right there.
I don't know. That scream sounds real.
And his reaction. Let's tell somebody else. Call 911. Quick. He doubles over like I shot myself in the genitals.
Speaking of guns, did you see the new study that came out?
Which one?
I will name it specifically, but essentially, as it loads, the Washington Post had said it, and it was the global firearm.
Oh, I think I did see this.
And it says a new study that there are more guns than people in the United States.
Oh, there's way more. Isn't there like, don't we have like past 25% of the entire world's guns?
Something like, okay, so 2017, there were around 326 million people living in the United States and 393 million civilian owned guns, which the study says is twice as many as the number two on the list, Yemen.
Well, take that, Yemen. They don't have any guns out there. They're probably not shooting themselves in the penis at all. They're not firing off rounds like this. So take a look at that. If you know quite a bit about how guns operate, because I remember the trope, you know, the meme from so many movies that I believed in for a while, where if you dropped your gun down some stairs, you know, the gun would be firing off or something. And then it turns out that unless you have a gun that's been manipulated or a gun that is incredibly cheap, that's not something that's going to happen. So we'll see. Take a look at that in the See It Now section of the News Junkie app. Give me your thoughts, and we'll go to the dispatches in the meantime. Here's Jamie with a dispatch from the News Junkie app.
Hey, Junkies.
Hey.
I just wanted to say something about the subject about Tinder. I actually have two friends that met girls on Tinder. One of them is already married to the girl, and another one's getting married in November. So you can find true love on these sites.
It works.
You know, you just got to weed through all the bad ones till you find the good one. Happy hump day.
Yeah, that's true with anything in life, I think.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And you got to think, Tinder turned a corner there. For a while when Tinder first came out, it was straight up, like, if you said you had Tinder, like, I remember we had an intern on the show, Jen, who was so sweet, still working in radio, kicking ass.
She's killing it.
In New York City, I believe, for Sirius or something. But she's up there doing her thing. And when she was here, it was sort of as Tinder was starting to take off. And I remember at that time, when you said you were on Tinder, people were like, oh, you're on the hookup app?
Yeah, you're just trying to get some booty.
And you would think, oh, I know what you're doing on this thing. It was an adult friend finder, but it wasn't too far off, I don't think.
I mean, it's no different from in the early days of Snapchat. It was widely known that that was for sending pictures of your penis.
Yeah.
And now, I've been on Snapchat for a while. I don't use it that often, but I haven't seen a single penis.
Did you not check the one I sent you this morning?
Send you a huge picture of my huge dong.
Yeah, if it didn't happen this morning with Sabrina, it's probably going to happen to you.
Delete.
Very, very soon. Over to James.
Good morning, News Junkies. Hey. This is James. Just wanted to say hi, good morning. Thank you for having such an awesome show. Is there any updates on the Kevin Smith situation?
You know,
have a great day.
I haven't heard too much about that. Has anybody heard about Kevin Smith other than he was on the potato diet and he's doing better? Kevin Smith had the heart attack when he was smoking weed.
There's a potato? That Kevin.
Yeah. He was doing much better health-wise. And actually, I saw a photo. He had shed some crazy weight. And I think he's on a much more controlled diet now. And the doctors are paying attention to him very closely. So hopefully he's going to be all right. I mean, I haven't heard too much from him, but I know that was a big scare.
It's weird when Kevin Smith gets skinny because he just doesn't look like Silent Bob at all.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's one of those people where they've always been a little bit heavier, and then you see them thin, you're like, oh, God. And it's a feat, man. There's a guy who's an incredibly nice guy who helps us out whenever we do live broadcasts at Universal Studios. His name's Bob. I don't know if you guys saw the collage of him or the video thing they did.
I've been following him. I mean, it's incredible what he has done.
We dropped crazy weight.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he must have dropped, I don't know the numbers, but I wouldn't be surprised if
5,000 pounds.
If it was like 100 pounds or something. Just an unbelievable amount of weight. And when you see those people, you go, man, that was a lot of work that was going into that. So I think Kevin Smith sort of worked his way into that world, and it looks like he's doing better. I don't know. I'm no doctor. Here is Tater Boy with the dispatch.
What up, News Junkie and crew? Checking in on a lovely hump day, almost 2 week mark from my hip replacement.
Oh, man.
If you haven't checked it out, go in the app, check out the submissions. I did send a picture of the x-ray I got the other day with my new hip in, and you can see the metal piece that's in there compared to the original one.
That's bad for security.
Now that I'm looking at it, the original one does not look as efficient or as sturdy as the other one. So I think I might just go ahead and get the other one done for the hell of it. Then on to shoulders and knees. Why the hell not, right? All right, love everybody. Miss you. Haven't been listening every day. Have a great day. Peace out.
Thank you, Tater Boy. Welcome back on board. Man, I can't imagine having one of those done, much less another one. Let's go over to Ian with a dispatch.
Hey, guys. Happy hump day. Just a real quick thought. I'm just getting agitated listening to all these people call up and talk smack to you about not doing your studying, not doing your research. You clearly are reading up on this, regardless of what side of any situation that you stand on or what your thoughts are on it. And furthermore, these people that are calling up and arguing and debating with you, if you cannot articulate yourself and you cannot get through a simple sentence, then please, for the love of God, back off a little bit. Nobody's perfect. We all get flustered when we're serious and when we're in a debate about something. But for the love of God, you cannot call and sound like such a crass asshole. And
you know, I don't care as much if there's like some bouncing around of your thoughts and ideas, and if you're not perfectly on track. I care the most when somebody's like, you're a terrible human being. Okay, why? Well, I mean, if you feel that way, fine. Just if you're going to call me out on it, at least be ready to go. If you say I'm bad, if you say I'm wrong, if you say I screwed, at least be ready to go with the information that proves the point that you're saying. Because if you might be right. In some cases, you are right. But to hear that and then have nothing after it except for, this is just how I'm feeling right now. We disagree politically, so you're X, Y, or Z. That's the more frustrating thing than somebody doing what you're talking about, Ian.
Not be able to get through a sentence. Get your thoughts together. I don't know, maybe write something down and quit blaming everything on all the liberal mind. You know what? It's not about that. It's about being able to articulate and further get your point across. And then maybe we can understand one another and not be such crude jerks.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
It's been a long week.
Yeah. It's been a long week.
We're
here
only
we
halfway
are.
Through.
That's one of those things where you go, wait, all these stories, all this drama, everybody's freaking out. We're talking about Nazis again. And what day is it? Oh, God. Still such a long haul on the way. That's one of the things that's so frustrating. Anybody on the texting service looking at this video and offering any insight at all, C-Lane? Or are they just completely ignoring us and saying, I'm not watching the guy shooting himself in the genitals?
They're still talking about Tinder. Kevin Smith was just on the $100,000 pyramid.
Ocala, 50 years. They've been doing the bombing.
The $100,000 pyramid is still around?
Yeah, they're doing the celebrity one now.
Everything is celebrities now. The celebrity $100,000 pyramid and the Family Feud one, where they get the families on from celebrities back and forth. And all I want to know is, that guy really shoot himself in the junk? Yo? I'm not asking for the world here. She didn't call 911, which is what the question or the demand was. Call 911 right now. I'm going to task this out to the next person in line.
There's actually only one comment on the gun video.
Come on now. What are they saying?
Well, why don't you get a gun and try it out for yourself?
I'm going to pass on that. I'll just wait for my expert. It'll happen eventually. Here's Bofa with a dispatch.
Alo. This is Raul Rodrigo Rodriguez.
Wow.
And this is Juanita Conchita Gonzalez Hernandez. It's me. And we'd like to say,
all right, to everybody else sending in dispatches, this guy's working his ass off. His two characters over here.
And they've got eight names each.
He's got names and routines and different characters. And you sent in a half-assed dispatch with a window down.
That most Mexicans get a bad rap.
That's right, Papis. Most Mexicans are nice, good, hardworking people.
That is correct, Juanita. We have not ever encountered any of these narco-terrorists that you claim ever when we've been to Mexico.
That is correct, Papis. Oh, my goodness. Mexicans are nice, and most of them are all about their family, and all they want to do is send a measly $200 to $500 back home so their families can survive and maybe eat something. And that
character.
Was my phone going off, so I apologize, Chan Watson. Bada bing, bada boom, baby.
This is Raul Rodrigo Rodriguez. Thank you very much.
Oh, he sounds fantastic with that.
His Raul sounds like a Hispanic version of the public service announcement guy that's at the beginning of the Eminem albums.
Uh-huh.
Due to a massive amount of...
That's not that. That's not the one.
Different guy.
Damn it.
More Mexican sounding than that particular gentleman, I guess. So thank you, Bofa. Hey, this guy putting in the groundwork. He's telling us information about
don't
what
you have a job?
Really like to be in Mexico. He's really, really doing a great job. Meanwhile, everybody else is like, they're bombing all the time in Ocala. Bombs are always going out. What are you, an idiot? You're reading the news story. This is old news. Well, thank you, Bofo. There should be many, many more people like you. That's the whole 95%. 95% of the dispatchers are just whoosh, wind blowing around, not really paying enough attention to what's happening, not giving me the insight I'm looking for, and just phoning it in. And then somebody, every once in a while, steps up to the plate. Those 5%ers, those are the dispatchers through the News Junkie app who step up and hit a home run right over the fence just like you did. And I'm expecting one of those on this guy who shot himself in the genitals, okay? Did he really do it or is this fake? That's all I want to know, okay? We'll find it out very, very soon. Also, the next episode with Sabrina when we come back. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Orlando City returns home to play host to Montreal Impact this Saturday. Coverage begins at 6:30 p.m. on our sister station, FM 96.9 The Game, AM 740, and iHeartRadio. And we'll feature a team press conference where Orlando City will address the head coaching transition. High diving face first into the world's most viral newsroom. This is the News Junkie. I'm gonna crash it if it's cold.
so. And just a moment, don't forget, live trivia coming up at 1. With the app, you can play along. You win a great prize if you're on top of the scoreboard for the week. Also, Skywall Summer Prize Upgrades and Effects might just have one, in effect, rather, might just have one up for grabs today. We'll see when we spin the wheel. Let's do the next episode.
Because there's a lot on TV, and you can't possibly keep up with all of it. Even though you should, because what else are you going to talk about?
Cost you tiny toilet.
Yeah, all right.
Nothing. Weather's nice. It's time for the next episode with Sabrina. Hey.
Are you ready for the next episode?
Yeah.
Yeah.
By the way, join me Saturday, June 23rd, 7:30 p.m. Orlando City is taking on Montreal Impact, and we are going to impact them with some winning.
Take that.
All up in their face, Montreal. I'll be giving away a pair of tickets on my social media, so make sure to follow me at Sabrina Ambra. 17 years ago, the year 2001, this show right here.
Oh, South Park.
South Park is right, and South Park featured the S word during its season premiere.
I remember that.
Do you remember how many S bombs were dropped?
162.
Christopher Lane.
Is that right?
162 S words in 30 minutes.
That was 17 years ago that they did that?
Yep.
Good
gosh. Do you feel old now?
I do.
It's rumored that Chris Pratt is dating Arnold Schwarzenegger's daughter. We saw that news yesterday, and the 46 pictures TMZ took, Arnold has now commented on it. He is insisting, it's not a rumor.
Nice.
Bill Cosby and his wife may be divorcing. Ironically, it turns out he's been causing her sleepless nights. You get what I'm saying, Rudy? That was Arnold and Bill Cosby.
Two of them together.
Rudy,
huh?
I'm sleepless because I'm awake. The other lady's sleeping. Uh-huh. Lionel Richie turns 69 today. Oh, yeah.
That looks good.
At his age, the only thing he spends all night long doing is trying to pee. Because he's old.
Oh, I saw.
And that becomes a problem.
Poor guy.
At that age, yeah. Don't want to say poor guy. I'm not. As I continue to do my research, he's just becoming a kind of a bigger POS.
Extension.
Yes, the rapper who was gunned down earlier this week. And now is the number one and number two albums on Amazon's Movers and Shakers digital music list. But that's not all. His album, it dropped in March, saw a 41,306% spike in a matter of hours. Yep, 17 album, nearly 9,000%. Also, not limited to digital music, XXX is garnering plenty of attention in the CDs and vinyl category. He holds the number two and three spots with the LP of jumping a staggering 542,566%.
There was
over 500,000.
Like impromptu memorial that kind of spun out last night.
Oh, really? Where?
I don't know where it was, but I guess that his girlfriend, the one that he allegedly beat up when she was pregnant, she was trying to go out there and put some things that she had with him in the street, and his fans like grabbed it and burned all the stuff. It went haywire.
Well, the streaming service Spotify, that had pulled his music following charges filed against him based on the alleged beating of his pregnant girlfriend, well, they reversed that. And after he was killed, they featured a Rest in Peace extension banner and featured his playlist at the top of its browse carousel.
Yeah.
So they're taking that back.
I think when we talked about the fact that R. Kelly's music was being pulled, for R. Kelly, it wasn't a big deal because he's already a star and everybody already is familiar with him, but it was rappers like Triple X Tentacultation that it was really kind
of... It's all of them. I mean, let's get real. It's like every single rapper in the Hot 100 has some kind of story like this. It's certainly not just this guy, but they've turned on him pretty quickly after his death here.
Earlier this week, the head writer for the NBC comedy Superstore started taking a big old dump on Fox News commentator Tucker Carlson because Tucker was complaining that the elites want to bring about the demise of traditional families. Well, the Superstore guy suggested that Tucker seemed a little nervous about family values, possibly because he had, and I quote, cheated on his wife with an actress from this show right here.
Modern Family?
Modern Family.
What actress from Modern Family?
Well, they can't say if it's true or not, but a lot of people are suggesting that it was. I mean, you can take a guess.
Well, I mean, I hope it's not one of the young girls. It would be too young, I think, for most of the time.
I think they're all.
It's not going to be Sofia Vergara, obviously.
Nope. Mm-mm.
Would it be the woman who's like the main star, the blonde lady? I don't remember her name.
Yes, Julie Bowen.
Really?
Her and Tucker went to school together, and she recently filed for divorce.
Huh.
She plays Claire Dunphy, you know, with the goofy husband, Phil.
Yep.
She and Tucker were both in the class of 87 at St. George's, a private boarding school in Rhode Island, and now they may be doing it. And Superstore apparently is connected to that and outing them.
Anybody seen Superstore?
I have.
Is it good or bad?
I think it's very funny. It's cute.
It's supposed to be like The Office a little bit, like a workplace comedy kind of thing.
Yeah, but not mockumentary style.
It's different the way it's filmed?
Yeah, but I like it. It's good for background and chuckling and not having to pay attention too much as far as plot lines.
Didn't they already have a show that was supposed to be kind of like that?
It's hard to follow anymore.
Like
I don't know.
10 items or less or something like that?
Oh, I don't. I'm not completely sure.
Or is that another rom-com? Damn it.
What you should,
I hope it was.
What you should be paying attention to, not, is this season of
Bachelorette.
That's right, because I've just chosen this theme song for all of them. But The Bachelorette is full of flop men, and one of the flops is a flat earther. It recently came out that one contestant, Lincoln Adam, he's been convicted of indecent assault and battery. Question as to why the F he was even allowed on the show, considering that they're supposed to be doing background checks, but more on that later. On last night's episode, well, in a conversation with some other contestants, Lincoln exposed himself as a flat earther.
Oh, mm-hmm. That's fun.
When you look out on a plane, everything is flat, he said. And if the earth was round, why wouldn't the water at the top just fall on top of us?
Wow, I never thought about it that way. That changes everything for me.
He went on to explain that explorers were able to go around just by traveling and friction and gravity. Do you know why you can't walk on the earth and not slip off? Friction.
Wow.
He also said that he needs more evidence and that we've been shown more evidence so far that the earth is round. It could change in the future. I have no idea what that means, but he's still on the show.
I hope they take these people in the next couple of years who are the most annoying about this and fire them out of a rocket and send them into orbit for a couple of loops and then bring them back down.
Yeah, well, he's not the only one this season who doesn't know science very well. Later on in the episode, while on the day Becca, the Bachelorette, didn't know what the G and G-force meant.
Mm-hmm.
So what an idiot. Just had to Google it.
Well, maybe they're a perfect pair.
What's for gravity? Not really. If he doesn't believe in it, does he believe in it? I don't know. People should stop watching this show and start watching or listening to a new segment I'd like to call This Week in Celebrity Muffs.
All right.
Everyone together.
Vagina.
Health experts pretty much debunk Gwyneth Paltrow's claim that it's a good idea to steam your vagina, but Chrissy Teigen didn't get the memo because she's still on board. She posted a picture of herself doing it along with two other treatments all at the same time, captioned it, face mask, heat pad, vagina steam. No, I don't know if any of this works, but it can't hurt, right? Vagina dissolves.
I just picture it like you're steaming a shirt to get the wrinkles out. Is that what it looks like?
I have no idea. I haven't tried it. I don't think it will. I guess she has a sense of humor, or
she work on the old coin pouch
is possibly burning down John Legend's favorite nightclub. We do not know.
If you did that and it was just smooth as could be,
it would be very weird. And coin pouch.
Jada Pinkett Smith may be 46 years old, but her hoo-ha refuses to act its age, and that's because she had not one, not two, but three vaginal rejuvenational procedures.
Man.
Rejuvenation.
Uh-huh.
She originally got them for bladder issues, but looks like they had some unforeseen, unintended benefits. Let's learn about her peach.
Which does make the appearance sometimes tighter. It helps with stress incontinence. You become more supple. So it's like, it's easier to have sex again.
Mm-hmm. I could definitely feel that, I mean,
When I tell you that I have my yoni is like a 16-year-old, I'm not kidding.
I'm confused about the tightness.
Yoni?
Yoni.
So I'm talking about the outside. It's like, it looks like a little beautiful peach.
Right. A little beautiful peach.
I got you. You're talking about the labia.
That's what gets tighter.
A peach labia. On the boob tube, series premiere of Yellowstone, 9 p.m. on Paramount. That's where Kevin Costner plays the owner of the largest ranch in the United States. Where will it go from there? Hip Hop Squares, 9 p.m. on VH1. Second season finale of Hank Azaria's comedy Brockmeyer, 10 p.m. on IFC. And you can catch Pete Davidson on Jimmy Fallon. Have a great hump day, Chodes, and remember,
smoke weed every day.
Hank is bringing a live trivia up next with Skywall Summer Prize upgrade possibilities for you. Jump on the phones, 407-916-1041. Spoiler alert, that's probably all full. Toll free, 1-888-978-1041. Or take the open lanes by downloading the app. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. At exactly 105, the play button appears. Answer quickly, do your thing, and get a prize. We'll do that. Live trivia up next with The News Junkie on Real Radio.
Story time with the three best friends you never knew you had. This is the News Junkie.
Live trivia in just a moment. Here's how this works for June and July, aka Skywall Summer. The Skywall Summer Prize upgrades are perhaps ready for you. We spin the wheel after you win on the phones or give you shots playing along on the app to get an additional, well, a shot at a different prize, an or prize. You choose this or the prizes that Sealand has for you each and every day. And there's some awesome stuff from technology to fun stuff and everything in between, including some theme weeks on the way. Let's do live trivia.
Get ready for live trivia with the News Junkie. You can play along with the News Junkie smartphone app.
Right. What?
Unless you don't have it, in which case get it at thenewsjunkie.com or call 407-916-1041. Toll free 888-978-1041. Good luck.
That's live trivia for a Wednesday, June 20th, 2018. Seven questions, two callers head-to-head to battle it out for a prize. And you're playing along in just about 30 seconds in the News Junkie app. Let's get our players on the phone. Here is 5%er. Are you there?
Yes, sir.
All right, we'll see about that. 5%er, and how about Pie Guy? Are you there?
I'm here.
All right, Pie Guy and 5%er. Best of luck to the both of you. Let's get things kicked off. All of you playing along in just 5 seconds on the News Junkie app. Good luck over there. Question number one. Michael Hayden, a former director of the CIA, is under fire for comparing Trump administration's practice of separating families to this. Summer camps? Slavery, the Lion King, or Nazi concentration camps? 5%er.
Summer camp.
All right, Pie.
Summer camp.
And on to number two. A restaurant in China has been forced to close its doors after an all-you-can-eat deal left it more than $100,000 in debt. What kind of restaurant was it? Italian, seafood, barbecue, or hot pot? Pie Guy.
Think hot pot.
And 5%er.
Same thing.
Number three, Chris Pratt was given the Generation Award at the MTV Movie Awards, and in his speech he talked about God being real, pooping in public, and more, all of which he called this, Pratt's Guide to Life, 9 Rules from Chris Pratt, General Generation Guidebook, or How To, Life by Andy, Star-Lord, and Owen. 5%er.
9 Rules.
All right, you say 9 Rules. What do you say, Pie Boy?
The 9 Rules of Chris Pratt.
I brought him down from a guy to a boy. Pie Guy is what I know. On to number four. A mom in Kansas could be on the hook for $132,000 after her 5-year-old son knocked down an art display at a local community center. What did the child knock down? Was it a glass sculpture, a 132-gallon rare fish tank, a 7-foot Lego structure, or a porcelain sculpture? What's the right answer, Pie Guy?
The first one.
And 5%er?
Porcelain sculpture.
Into the back stretch, the final three. Number five, many are turning to a new remedy for stress. an immersive video game that gives you the experience of driving a bus. That's it. That's the whole game, driving a bus. Is it called the Mother Trucker, Bus Simulator 18, Diamond in the Bus, or Bus God 5000? 5%er.
Second one.
Pie Guy?
Bus Simulator 18.
Number six. Roy Sekoff, the founding editor of the Huffington Post, has just released a book, and in one chapter, he talks about a Hollywood funeral in 1994 where Chevy Chase did this to him. Did he expose himself, goosed him, stole his car, or grabbed his junk? Go ahead, Pie Guy.
Grabbed his junk.
5%er?
Same thing.
And we've arrived at the final question for you two and everybody else playing along in the app. Yesterday, we learned the rapper Nelly missed out on a potential bone marrow donor for his dying sister because people were protesting his fundraiser. It's all about the music video for this song. Pimp Juice, Tip Drill, Thicky Thick Girl, or Country Grammar. 5%er.
Tip Drill.
Hi, Guy.
Tip Drill.
All right, it's going to be close. Let's see. We'll put you both on hold. We'll go over the questions and answers very quickly, give you any updates that you need to know on the stories, other tidbits as we fly through to see not only who the winner is, but if we have a Skywall Summer Prize upgrade. Live trivia brought to you by our great friends over at Nations Trucks. Here's the deal. If your truck sucks, if it's god-awful, or if it's just not good enough for how great you are, you need to go to Nations Trucks. NationsTrucks.com has a huge selection of badass trucks ready to take your life up to the next level. For some of you, that'll be level one. For some of you, you'll hop up to level two or three.
Ooh.
You know, it'll be a jump regardless. And that jump starts at NationsTrucks.com. 5%er, Pie Guy, you are the two players. Let's go back through these and see who our winner is. Michael Hayden of the CIA said separating families is comparable to this.
5%er and Pie Guy both said summer camps, and that answer was incorrect. Correct answer, Nazi concentration camps.
Yeah, the other side of the dime was Fox News and Laura Ingraham, who said, "That's just a summer camp."
Bit of a trick question.
A good time over there. Number two, a restaurant in China has been forced to close its door. It was $100,000 in debt over an all-you-can-eat what?
Both the players said hot pot, and that answer was hot answer.
Yeah, I want some hot pot now.
It's good.
Hot pot is like Asian version of the melting pot.
Yeah.
Right? Oh, man. And I like the melting pot,
melting
too.
Melting pot.
Get lost there for a while. Yeah. Number three, Chris Pratt was given an award at the MTV Movie Awards. He gave out his rules. What were they called?
5%er and Pie Guy both said 9 rules from Chris Pratt, and that answer was correct.
We're doing well so far. Number four, this kid knocked down $132 in sculpture monies. He broke what?
5%er said a porcelain sculpture. Incorrect. Mm. It was Pie Guy that said a glass sculpture, and that answer was right.
We learned today there was like ping pong tables, other games around this thing. Sort of creates an atmosphere that's not good for $132,000 glass sculptures. Number five, there's a new remedy for stress. It's a bus driving game, but what's it called?
Both the players said Bus Simulator 18, and the wheels on the bus go right and right.
Number six, the founding editor of the Huffington Post said Chevy Chase did this to him in 1994.
It was Pie Guy and 5%er that said grabbed his genitalia, and that answer was correct.
Number seven, the final question, Nelly got in trouble over this music video.
5%er and Pie Guy both said Tip Drill, and it's so hot in here. We do have a winner of live trivia, and that is Pie Guy.
All right. Congratulations, all right. Pie Guy. You are the winner of live trivia today. Hang on tight. We got to get your information, and let's dust off the Skywall Summer Prize wheel. And what we got here? Do we have a Skywall Summer Prize upgrade? And we do. Yeah, we do. Congratulations, Pie Guy. You have another option besides the great prize that C-Lane always has. We have a Skywall Summer Prize upgrade. You can, if you'd like, get an Amazon Fire TV Cube. This is the new one. It's cube. 4K. It's crazy. If you got a 4K TV, you could actually get some great 4K content for it. It's from us to you. Your Skywall Summer Prize upgrade, should you choose it, is the brand new Amazon Fire Cube. It's badass if you're into high-quality television watching. Television walking, I don't quite understand, even though I just said it. Congratulations, pie guy. What else do we have, C-Lane?
Are you watching things on television where people walk, or are you walking on television?
It's relaxing.
I'm walking on TV.
I have a $50 gift certificate to PyroSpot Fireworks. That is your local source for the best fireworks in Central Florida. Be a backyard hero this year with Florida's largest selection of buy one, get two free fireworks. Sean and I were on IWantFireworks.com yesterday during one of our breaks watching videos of fireworks go off.
If you're frustrated at work, go to IWantFireworks.com and just watch all of the grand finales.
With two locations to serve you on the corner of 434 and 1792 in Longwood and now in Eustis. And you can visit them at IWantFireworks.com for all the information. I also have a pair of tickets to see Orlando City take on the Montreal Impact at Orlando City Stadium on June 23rd at 7:30 p.m. for a little revenge.
Nice.
Tickets on sale now. Visit realradio.fm. Keyword tickets for more information.
All right, let's take a look at this scoreboard. This is in the News Junkie app. You were playing along with us, hopefully. Let's see how everybody did.
Scarchest07 has the lead for a hump day with 1870. Just right above my best friend, Thomas Ocala Chris, the Dita. Ocala Chris, watch out. They're doing this new thing.
Bombs. There's bombs going off. They're doing bomb testing at Ocala. We were looking at the Google Maps of this. It's pretty awesome to see the area that they blow up.
They took a bunch of shipping containers and old vehicles and made like a little... It's supposed to be like a little city, like a simulated little city that you're bombing, I don't know.
How close can you get? Can you watch that? Like... Sell seats? Well, I don't want to buy a seat for that, actually. Yeah. They miss.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Bad. You blow
up. It's not like when you're watching a NASCAR race and hoping something bad goes down. Mm-hmm. This one's a lot more dangerous.
You blow up in the end.
Let's see. The Dita B. Dillinger Boost Junkie. Took my Chevrolet to Levy's Bri. Von Ripperton and Dr. Love's Cupcake. The back five on the scoreboard. C-Lane's buddy. That's my buddy. I don't know why. I'm just reading it, so I'm taking my name in the third person. My buddy Mo Money at 46. Jesus Saves Gretzky scores at 47, Catch Gretz Fever, Mrs. Ditchpatch Dan, and Coffee Lover to round out the top 50.
All right, thank you all for playing along. You too can get involved. I don't know what you're waiting for. It takes just a second of your time. Search for The News Junkie in the App Store. They're working on getting something in front of the president to sign that may change the nature of the debate over these kids in these immigrant detention centers along the border and beyond. We'll see exactly what is going to be happening with that in the coming minutes here. As soon as anything's signed, we'll talk to you about it, and I'll tell you as much as I know about it as I read through. And also, another teacher having sex with a student, that shouldn't shock you. The jail time and the details on this one, that might stay right where you are. We'll show you this one as well and visually show you this one in the See It Now section. When we return, stay put. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
If it's important to you, it's on and probably being mocked by the News Junkie. I saw the body drop.
The week everybody talks about immigration, kids in cages, and all this stuff. Over and over and over we go. The things they're not talking about, though, pretty interesting. And it actually has a lot of people pissed off this week on Capitol Hill because of all the conversations that have been going on about immigration. The president at the last minute, President Trump, as they were preparing for this big annual Capitol Hill cookout. And I want you to picture this for a second. This is a big event where all these people on Capitol Hill, they bring their families and their kids. They gather together. They cook up burgers and dogs and steaks and all the sides. And they eat and they enjoy on a beautiful June day. And because of the arguments and debates going on, the president canceled it at like the last minute. People have been cooking steaks all day long and preparing for this.
What?
Like little kids are sitting there waiting like with like a fork and a spoon, one in either hand, staring over, going, what's happening?
We want our steak.
Where's our food? And they canceled this thing. It says President Trump says he will sign something in a little while. He announces he's canceling the congressional picnic because it didn't feel right. They had already started grilling steaks at the White House. I wonder where all those uneaten steaks are going to go. Seems like a real waste, unfortunately.
Very Ron Swanson question of you.
Somebody's got to do something with the steaks. we cannot throw them out. I think that'll be just an unbelievable waste. So that is happening as well. So many different things going on in the world. And it wouldn't be a week if we didn't have a situation with a teacher having sex with a student. In this case,
wouldn't be a day.
Tiffany Eichler, it does happen basically daily. A 36-year-old former McKinley High School teacher is in front of a judge. I got the audio of her talking to the judge. Let's find a photo of her so people can take a look on the See It Now section of the news.
Doing it.
Junkie app. Tiffany Eichler.
Already got her.
And we'll put that up in just a moment. She was convicted of having sexual relationships with not one, not two, but three male students. Really just taking it up to the next level there.
Boy.
And she was sentenced to time served, which was just a couple of months. Actually, not even 30 days in jail, which was time served. Some other sanctions for three felony counts of sexual battery against these students. They said that she was pleading for leniency, and they don't think she's going to reoffend since she can't ever get a teaching job again.
No.
The judge was talking to her and explaining all this stuff that was going on. I actually have the judge talking to this teacher who had sex with three students.
The defendant appeared to be portraying herself as the victim in this case, both in her explanation of how these acts came to be committed and in her letter to the court asking for leniency on behalf of her family.
Your Honor, I would just like to apologize to
this is her.
The families and the boys, the teaching profession, Kansas City Schools, and her family for putting everyone in this position.
So she's apologizing for all this. That was the prosecutor who was talking, Christy Donnelly, at the beginning there. The judge is in the mix somewhere.
You were also supposed to look after my son.
It's the mom.
Yet you were only looking out for yourself. Your character is the real class act. You are a mother, wife, daughter, teacher, friend, and now you will be known as a registered sexual offender.
Ah.
Since March 8th, have you asked yourself any questions? What if this happened to your kids? Since then, I have been praying for you and your family.
Get it together, Tiffany Eichler, the latest teacher in this situation. And you see them doing this. They got families. They got husbands. They just still continue to get caught up in these situations with male students. Let's talk to Bob. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, I'm not saying it's right, but every teenage kid's dream is to make love to one of their teachers. What I want to ask you, Sean, is if you had some beautiful, like, Deborah LaFave take you out of the classroom and do that, why would you say anything? Why would you say anything?
How old am I in this fictitious situation, Bob?
How old am I?
In this fictitious situation, how old would I be?
Let's say 14 to 16.
See,
is that most the ages?
14, I think, is crazy and young. But when you have these 16, 17-year-old kids who are actively seeking out the relationships with the teachers sometimes, and that's been the case, and then eventually getting caught, you know, it's kind of amazing to me that the parents do take the tact of them being a victim. That's the weird thing that I see. Go ahead. What were you going to say?
No, I was just saying, and you know it and I know, and I'm sure you said the same thing. When you were 14 to 16, if you had a teacher that would come on to you, I would keep that a secret and enjoy that till I got out of high school.
Depends on the teacher.
Yeah, true. Well, you're exactly right. But most of the teachers that have been doing this look like they're Deborah LaFave.
Well, look, I mean, this doesn't defend the act of the teacher having sex with a teenage kid.
It's not the same way, and it's still very much illegal. Like, it's almost the same kind of idea, because back in the day, it's like, well, you banged the hot teacher. Whoa. Uh-huh. It's like the same idea as the workplace. The secretary with a very high skirt sitting on the boss's desk. It's like, that may have been how it was back the day and how it was portrayed to look cool in film and television, but not so much now. It's still bad. I want to see a study on teachers and how this continues to happen.
Yeah, I'm surprised there's not more on that. I'm surprised there hasn't been people. I always say the documentary going into this and talking to some of these women who have been involved. You said Deborah LaFave, like that. I'd be interested in that.
And I think that's why the punishment isn't as severe as someone who has sexually assaulted a younger person, a teenager or child, because through the case, they see that it was more of a relationship, more of a mutual understanding of the sex versus against their will.
Well, my biggest thing with these stories is, and what I was trying to get to with Bob there, is when you have a student, and I remember C-Lane was reading the text messages from one of these kids one time that was involved in an affair with this teacher. Mm-hmm. And he's sending the filthiest text message, and he's like, I want to come over and do this to you and that to you. And he was like a 17-year-old kid. And then afterwards, the parents of these teenagers sometimes try to go, look what you did to my little boy. And you go, hang on a second.
You were supposed to take care of my children, but all you were taking care of was your own desires.
Yeah, and you go, yes, she did something wrong. But in some of these cases, these young kids were more than just willing participants. And when they were 17 or 18 years old, and that's been the case in some of these, the big difference between that and 13 or 14, major, major difference. But when they're 17 or 18, it's like they know what they're doing.
When the weird part about this is, where did this happen? Texas?
This particular one happened at McKinley High School. Oh, no. There's McKinley's all over. Canton, Ohio, I think.
Okay. Then I don't know why this is part of the five fast facts, because they're talking about how Texas introduced a bill in 2016 that increased penalties and closed loopholes that it will allow educators who engage in inappropriate relationships to resign and obtain employment in another district. So I guess, like, there are some people that were just kind of, there are ways of
working around it,
gainful teaching employment elsewhere for some of these people. That was in Texas. But rather small sentence.
Yeah, I mean, nothing. 30 days in jail, which was already time served. But it is a big sentence to have sex offender for the rest of your life. I mean, that is a pretty tough one.
Anytime your name is Googled, it comes up there.
Yeah, and there's a lot of stuff to this and a lot of angles. And I would never find it an okay situation for a teacher to have sex with students, and the teacher should be punished for that. I just think there are moments when the student is 17 or 18, and this could be a female student too, where they're 17 or 18. Sometimes they're even the aggressor. The teacher should not be doing that, but afterwards there's like this thing where they're like, look what you did. You know, you preyed on my child, and you're like, yep, teacher did something bad, but your student was really in on this, too. And I've seen a bunch of stories very, very similar to that. I don't know the ins and outs on this one. I don't know how old the kids are. It's not in the story I'm looking at here.
Well, what Bill was talking about, now this is completely different with this teacher, because she was having sex or at some point had sex with three different students. So, like, if you're in something with your teacher,
yeah,
and all of a sudden you find out you're not the only one, that might be where it becomes all right.
Turns into a fight.
It's
like you're supposed to be just my teacher action, and all of a sudden now there's a fight for the teacher. That happens. Parents get a hold of the phones and find the text messages. It's a weird phenomenon, and I'm definitely interested in seeing more about it and exactly what happened. I hate to double you up here, C-Lane, but something else that I wanted to talk about that we could also put up on See It Now. And it's about a person by the name of Giancarlo Tomei. And the name is Giancarlo, last name Tomae. And we'll get a photo of this photo up on See It Now in just a moment so you can see what's going on. But they were doing a white shark field survey. And they were looking and saw something that was going on. And it ended up that there was a great white shark that had washed up on a beach. And a marine biologist that was checking out the beach and looking at all this stuff finds the dead shark on the beach. And one of the other biologists lays down next to the shark to pose for a photograph.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody goes, oh, my God. How could you do that? There's people calling for these people's jobs to be had and everything. And it's like, the shark is dead. You can say something about a frat bro who drags a shark behind the back of his boat, or somebody who runs into the ocean, takes out a shark. I've seen this. You know, I've seen footage of this happening. Grabs a shark and brings it up, and people take photos with it as it's alive and gasping for air on the beach. If this shark is dead and a biologist sits down next to it for a photograph, that's not one of the bad things. That's just a picture.
No.
Take a look at the photo if you haven't seen it already.
Man, and it's like, it's so funny to me seeing stuff like this. I have a picture almost identical to that.
With a shark?
Not with a shark, but with a 9-foot gator.
Oh, really?
That was found at my you know, old camp's lake, and it was at the time of night where all the campers were asleep, counselors were up, and we're like, wait, they just got one, and we all took pictures next to it. If I were to post that, would I be getting backlash for
it? It's weird. It's like, it's not like you're taking this dead animal and riding on the alligator like a surfboard. You know, if you're hanging 10 and stomping on the dead alligator, I mean, the alligator's dead, or in this case, the shark is dead. You're not doing any more damage to the animal. You still should probably be respectful, but they're just taking a photo next to it. It says Giancarlo Tome, or however you say it, said he snapped a photo with a shark in California using this woman to provide scale. They wanted to show their colleagues how big the shark was. And they said, we got down there because the tide was running in, but they weren't prepared with what happened when TV station KSBW posted the photo. Reader said, this is absolutely disrespectful. And it was the Pelagic, or whatever, however you say that, Pelagic Shark Research Foundation. And they had seen some stuff nearby, followed it around. People said, this could not be more messed up. A dead shark is not a photo op, wrote one person. God forbid. The dead shark was probably so wounded by the photograph taken nearby. This was once a living being, and it's just okay to lay next to it smiling. This is appalling, and I'm angry. God. Justice has to be had, read another comment.
What's the justice? I mean, really, if you,
like they get
all
fired?
These people that would comment would be the same people taking pictures of the dead shark if they were on the beach.
Oh, absolutely.
Day. Oh,
the shark is dead.
The guy, one of the marine guys, scientists.
The marine biologist.
Said the negative reaction is very surprising, but for marine scientists, examining the shark was an opportunity of a lifetime, defining moment in their careers, getting able to study these sharks, but for the first time starting to show up an increase off the coast.
Uh-huh.
This is the second dead shark they found the last 2 years. So now they
get
to
then.
Take this opportunity and study and actually, on the other hand, it's not offensive because they're saving the species.
Yeah, they're using this as a good thing. It's an 8 to 9 foot, 500-pound shark. And if you're upset by somebody who leans over for a scale perspective next to an already dead shark, you don't want to know what they're going to do with it when they get back to the offices. Because they're probably going to dissect it to help out more sharks.
Even if they're not using it for good, even if they're just going to push it back into the water and let something eat it, it's not a person.
No. It's dead and they're not disrespecting it.
And a person didn't kill it, didn't hunt it. It died from a bacterial infection. Get over it.
Probably humans that put the bacteria
in there. Sometimes you end up going after people who are on the same side as you. If you love animals, guess who else loves animals? Almost every single marine biologist ever.
100%. Now, do you think it'd be completely different if the woman didn't smile? Just be completely serious next to the dead shark?
I don't know. I wonder if that was the case, if they would still react. Is it the smile that's so offensive and makes this look disrespectful?
Yeah. No smiling in science.
Would it be offensive if she had just kind of leaned up a little more and just pulled her boobs out right next to the dead shark? Dead shark boobs.
It would have got a lot more views on the See It Now section of the News Junkie app, I think, if that were to be the case. But if you haven't seen it, check it out right there. Get the app, search for The News Junkie in the App Store, and download it now. Back in a moment with Jury Duty. It's The News Junkie on Real Radio.
Documenting and contributing to the decline in American culture. This is The News Junkie.
Jury Duty, in just a moment. Now, I'm sure that they've been doing this for 50 years, and I'm sure that it's just an old story, and that this is nothing new, but who knows what's going on in the news anymore? A story about UCF researchers from Fox 35 that says they're creating and studying something very, very odd. They are creating and studying at UCF zombie ants.
What?
Sci-fi and horror aficionados might be tempted to say what's happening in Dr. Charissa De Becker's research lab is how it all starts. You know, the zombie apocalypse?
Mm-hmm.
After all, the University of Central Florida researcher is infecting carpenter ants with a fungus that turns them into zombies. So it's like this weird thing that has been happening in Florida for a while. And they say when a carpenter ant becomes infected by this fungus, it leaves its nest. It just becomes like a zombie. It makes its way over to the forest, and then it just starts eating moss, and then it dies. That's it. So they're finding out why this is happening, what's happening here. There's no brain in the fungus, in the microbe that is responsible for this takeover, so they just don't quite understand what's happening. Once they die, the fungus grows out of the ant carcass and drops spores, which then infects other carpenter ants, starting the process over, more and more ant zombies. So Dr. De Becker plus four graduate students and five undergrads are trying to figure out how and why this makes the zombie ants tick, and how those answers might help non-zombie humanity. Or, if you're living life in a sci-fi movie, this is when, as they said, it all starts. One of the carpenter ants bites one of the students. That student then goes into the woods and starts munching on the moss. And then more students get the human zombie disease. It's just going to be bad. Hopefully they keep it all together and learn some interesting stuff in terms of, you know, science and all that. Let's do jury duty.
Court is now in session, so put your phone down and pay attention before we call the bailiff over to whip your ass. You're now on jury duty with the News Junkie.
And jury duty brought to you by the DeWitt Law Firm. The DeWitt Law Firm. DeWittLaw.com. So you've been in an accident. Maybe it's a motorcycle accident, maybe a car accident. Maybe somebody you know got into an accident. You can step up and offer a great suggestion. Because there's a lot of billboard attorneys out there, right? These are the folks you see on billboards, and on TV, and just on the commercials. But they don't actually get into the courtroom. Moses DeWitt and the DeWitt Law Firm fight for people like you every single day against the insurance companies and anybody else that you've got a problem with. So if you've been injured, personal injury, injured at work, whatever, call them. 1-800-DeWitt-LAW. Divorces, no matter what reason you need an attorney, it's on you to choose a great one. That's why you go with the DeWitt Law Firm. A pestering son has been banned from contacting his parents for 5 years. Huh. This is the latest in the line of kids who won't quite leave their parents alone. Paul and Corrine Curley of Southampton in the UK took out a restraining order on their son, Matthew Curley, 24, after he was convicted of harassing multiple family members. The prosecutor said his constant demands for money have been a source of overwhelming anxiety and stress for the family. So this guy who's 24 would call his parents up to 30 times a day to beg them for money. And they said not only is this sad and they said that he would always have an excuse for it, but this is harassment, and he needs to stop doing it.
Wow.
The guy is, the wife restores vintage aircraft for a living and has two young children. I'm sorry, this is the guy who's 24. He restores vintage aircraft for a living. Of course, being the parents, they share the same last name. And he was jailed for 32 weeks last year. A court hearing said that he called his parents 30 times a day begging for money. He told his parents he had a job interview and needed to shave, but his shaver had broken halfway through.
Oh, poor thing.
And there's no other way to do this except for getting money for a really fancy electric shaver.
Right, of course.
You can't get like a disposable shaver for a couple of dollars. Uh-uh.
Yeah, but if you have money for a really fancy electric shaver, you can get the disposable shaver and then spend the rest of that money on whatever got him this poor in the first place.
You are really aiding and abetting this guy who is bothering his parents.
Crime tips.
In the middle of the night, there have been calls. A number of messages have been criticizing them before again asking for money. And they said that Kleiner said his actions had stopped, spent the time in prison. I'm trying to see why he spent the time in prison because they don't yet mention that. I hope it's not just for these calls. But he's been banned from contacting his parents. No more begging for money. And I know a lot of parents who find themselves in that situation at some point in a kid's life. But when they're 24, you need to get it together and leave your parents alone. 30 calls a day is unbelievable. Moving through the court system, close to becoming a law, a bill called No Pets Left Behind. Mm-hmm. And I think this is great, and I think they should do it in more states. It's a bill to ensure that no pets are left behind during an eviction. I got to tell you, you know, I'm not a sap for stuff like this. And I've seen it a couple of times on these reality shows where they find animals in rough shape, in bad shape, and help them out. And every once in a while, somebody will have been evicted.
Oh, yeah.
And they left their dog behind because they can't afford to bring their dog with them. And they just leave the dog in this abandoned house to die.
Which is crazy.
It's unbelievably.
Drop it off at the Humane Society.
They don't even do that. They just leave it there. And oftentimes they find these animals, if they're lucky enough to find them alive, emaciated. No pet should ever be left behind and abandoned like an old couch, says the senator where this is all going down. This is in New York, I believe. Those executing eviction notices and those leaving their home have a responsibility to make sure to check the property so an animal is not left behind to die. Meaning if you leave, you better check and make sure you're not leaving a pet there. And if somebody leaves your property, you don't leave it abandoned for months on end. You go in there after they leave your property and check to make sure that they didn't leave an animal there. Pets are treasured members of the family. This bill, once it's signed into law, will ensure that every member of the family stays together even during an eviction. And there you go. I mean, I think that would be fantastic to do that elsewhere. Sometimes these animals are just the forgotten people in someone else's complete and total mess. But talking about XXXTentacion, or whatever the hell his name is. And to most people, it's pretty clear that he's dead. Well, I said to most. Some folks are saying that it's all a big publicity stunt. He wasn't really killed in this robbery, or whatever it was. That it was all a conspiracy to promote his album. They said that, they said, look, there he is. There's no bullet holes, no blood, no nothing.
Okay, then why? They went so far as to get the Broward County Sheriff's Office involved and had them confirm that the male was dead?
Well, like all these other conspiracy theories, the more you think about it, the less sense it makes. But some folks just don't believe it's true. Rest easy, those of you who are fans. Like my son was, I guess, a big fan of his music.
Oh, is he mourning on Instagram?
He was. He was putting some stuff out there. And
why does no one talk about how terrible this guy was?
It's because there's a lot of people that are like that in music.
And crazy.
It's mostly ignored. Like I said, the Billboard Hot 100 is full of these people. That guy Tekashi 69 is still awaiting trial, and he's very popular in very much the same way as this guy. And he's waiting trial for the alleged rape of a teenager. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that has happened with these people and a lot of other rappers throughout history, really. And some people try to just look at the music, I guess. I think that's what my son was doing. He was texting about this last night. And I said, look, you know, it's an unfortunate situation when anybody dies over a bag, a Louis Vuitton bag or whatever kind of bag this guy had, if that was the case. If not, it was some gang thing back and forth, even more completely and totally senseless that this stuff has been happening. But rest assured, the police aren't in on this. This is not a conspiracy. The dude's actually dead. He's not alive anymore. When we come back, a woman died in perhaps the most bizarre way that I've heard of in a long, long time. This is a way to die, so you might want to be careful. And to be careful, you're going to need the information that's coming up next. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
Someday Alexa will do everything.
Ugh. Alexa, can you unclog the toilet?
Yeah, I'm kind of busy right now.
But until then, just tell her to play Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
Playing Real Radio 104.1 on iHeartRadio.
Send us your dispatches. Just make it interesting, or Sabrina's gonna hit you with a tuba.
It's the News Junkie.
We do it for the drugs. We can never get enough.
We'll check out your dispatches in just a moment. I really wish somebody would push this leave no pets behind thing even further. I think that's a good cause. That really, I mean, in a day and age when people are split up about so many different issues, that most people would agree that these pets in situations where people are evicted need somebody looking out for them. And sometimes the owners don't care. I mean, they just go, look, I'm going to the next place. I'll leave this animal here. And the person who owns the house, oh, that'll be their problem. And the person who owns the house goes, I'm not going there for a while. I got no need to. I'll go there in a couple of months. And then there's animals just sitting around waiting to die. It's a terrible thing. And so if we have more of these bills, as were just passed in New York, where they make sure that both the tenant who's leaving is responsible and the person who rented out that spot, the landlord, is also responsible for doing a sweep through and making sure no animals are left behind. I think that's a good thing. Let's talk to Evan. Go ahead, Evan.
Oh, man, it's so bad. So we run a wildlife company in Florida, and we do, like, all your nuisance stuff. Sea lion's been there, rats, raccoons, bats.
Uh-huh.
We get a ton of calls for people who just bailed on their animals, be it apartment complexes. Like, the further in the city you are, the worse it gets.
Yeah.
You'd be surprised what people leave behind. Pigs, goats, chickens, dogs, cats.
Really?
Storage facilities are, like, number one for snakes. People bail, move into a storage facility temporarily, leave their snake there, and then the storage facility calls and says, hey, I got, like, a 12-foot anaconda in here. Can you come get it?
My God. So how often does this happen? Is it rare? I hope it's rare.
So it's tough to tell because we get, like, an influx of those calls. We handle most of Central Florida, and we get, like, 3 or 4 a week for abandoned animals. Apartment complexes are hands down number one. But, yeah, it's a lot of times somebody rents out a house, so-and-so with a dog doesn't make their bills, gets kicked out, leaves the dog behind, and then you've got the tenant and the landlord both put their hands up and say, it's not my problem.
Yeah.
And you've got the dog there, and they're reaping the problem.
Yeah, what happens a lot of times with these animals? You can't take them all in, I wouldn't guess. You have to find them home?
Them all. It's a gray area with pets, because even if the person leaves it behind, it's still kind of their property, and we can't, like, take their stuff, even though they don't deserve it.
Mm.
We shuffle things around the best we can. We're not a pet taxi service, but they always end up at, like a shelter. You know how that goes a lot of times.
Uh-huh.
But most with the reptiles, I don't mind. We make a killing giving those things to pet stores and usually turn a profit.
Oh, really?
You're flipping snakes.
So you take these
and... Yeah, flipping snakes is the big one.
I thought you're not supposed to flip turtles.
Oh, God. Even Evan didn't like that, Zealand. Evan.
It's unbelievable how common it is. It's awesome to see it make the news, but we live this kind of stuff, so we see things I had no idea were going on until we started doing this, like, full time.
Yeah. I mean, is it a lot of people with their just dogs and cats and the simple stuff you would think?
Yeah, it you don't want to judge, but it's the kind of person that can't make their bills, ends up getting evicted, not in their own right, usually has a terrible dog, and it's a horrible living situation. So it's not like they left little fluffy Fido behind. It's terrible animals in terrible positions.
Yeah.
And you go in there, and it's usually on its last leg. But a lot of chickens, a lot of pigs, a lot of goats in apartments.
Goats in apartments?
Goats
sounds like
apartments.
A bad
yeah,
idea.
They're supposed to have... Oh, you guys are horrible.
That was well deserved.
A lot of wildlife puns.
Now, is there, like, do you guys work at all with a rescue group? So that
yeah,
maybe...
we work with a bunch of different ones. Because they'll get calls for, like, somebody's got an osprey or something injured, and they don't have the manpower to go get it, so they'll give us a holler. And if we've got a tech over in the area, we'll go pick it up and then shuffle it over their way. We're primarily for profit. FWC can't and won't do a lot of stuff. And then normally your smaller pest control companies, same gig. So there exists this void in there where they need somebody to do something.
Oh, weird. I didn't think about it.
A lot of people, if you Google right now animal control, one of those links will be animal control and the rest are going to be all private services. So, like that.
So there's this spot there, at least in Florida, in the law where you need these private organizations because they can do things that these governmental organizations either don't want to do or can't do.
Correct.
Oh, man. All right. Well,
yeah, there's definitely jobs out there.
Thank you for the information, Evan. I appreciate it.
You betcha. Yeah. Take care, guys.
God, that's terrible that happens. I hope they do more to stop that. And it's interesting that they can actually make a profit off of this stuff.
Yeah. Right?
Like we sweep in, grab a snake for a couple of days, make sure the snake's healthy, sell them off to somebody else.
Why not?
And then, you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if they see the same one over and over. Like, somebody else has bought this one, and then they also can't take care of it.
If you find another hawk or osprey, though, let me know.
What the hell's happened with that? People have pet ospreys?
I guess so. I just, I'm encouraged now. I'll make sure to take care of it, not leave it in my apartment behind.
Don't do that.
But I do want to train it so that I could just do a sweet little whistle. And all of a sudden, out of the air comes my hawk.
Osprey, you need one of those gloves for that, right?
I already have two.
You have osprey gloves already.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're prepared then. Now you just need to get the osprey itself and then go from there.
Where did you get osprey gloves?
None of your business.
Just asking questions.
Amazon.
Just leave it out there. Well, let's get to this story about a woman who died, unfortunately, in the most bizarre of ways. So how can you prevent this from happening to you? Well, I'll tell you this. Be careful when you're eating breakfast. Because of all the ways to go, Roma Barker had made her way through 86 years of life. She did her thing, she lived and let live, and was enjoying her twilight years. Then she died after accidentally inhaling scrambled eggs.
Fatality.
Weird way to go. Senior coroner Katie Scarrett, who lived in the same neighborhood with this lady did, obviously, got into difficulties while eating scrambled eggs during her stay, that this woman did. She was eating her lunch. She started to cough and collapse. A doctor gave her back slaps and then uses suction. That's all they said, just uses suction. But she was pronounced dead at 1:05 p.m. She had no history of eating problems. Somehow when she was eating the eggs, she sucked in the scrambled eggs and ended up choking to death on these things.
God, that sounds terrible. But you would think with scrambled eggs, they kind of just keep sliding down.
Maybe when they're that old, even scrambled eggs can cause potential problem.
Hell of a way to go.
She died from scrambled eggs. So eat carefully. My mom used to always tell me, what are you, in a race? What's happening here? Slow down. Nobody's trying to steal your food, Sean. And that's true from cradle to grave. And you'll get to the grave faster, I'm guessing, if you just inhale, literally inhale, your scrambled eggs. To the dispatches, here is Trigger Finger with a dispatch.
You know what, Sean?
What?
I'm siding with Tom on this one.
Oh, Tom's long gone.
I think you need to start getting and moving, man.
Getting and moving.
I mean, everybody knows that they were bombing out there in Ocala. Come on,
Some
man.
People didn't know about the Ocala bombs, okay? There's new people learning every moment that they were dropping bombs today. And right now, or very soon, they're going to be dropping the ones that don't explode. Here's the beast.
Hey, News Junkie. Just saying hello. It's been a while, and I just have a quick little question for you.
Yeah.
Do you guys have News Junkie magnets on your car? Because
no.
I don't, and I don't see any News Junkie magnets around, and I've been listening to the News Junkie for about 2 years now, and I have yet to see one. And the first time I see one, I'm stealing it.
Where are you living?
It's, you know, the game magnets. So just, you know, quick question. Let me know.
One good way to find this stuff is if you go to facebook.com/thenewsjunkie. And this is not from me posting into this. There's people who just post them. They'll say, I'm out in this neighborhood. I'm over here, and I'm playing Game of Magnets with this one in play. And they'll show the News Junkie magnets and what they've got out there. And they'll also show on facebook.com/thenewsjunkie the ones that they've nabbed in Game of Magnets. So look, just found this one. Boom, here's my victory magnet. Once you do that, you'll start to see how many are out there. And there are a lot of magnets out there. Now, a lot of them happen to be stuck to refrigerators because people really, really like to collect them. But many of them are on the back of cars. And I would say if you've got some, put one on there just for the rush. Not on mine. It would just be too much. I just always would have to keep putting a magnet on the back of the car. Muffin Lady tends to have one. She tends to have one on the back of her vehicle.
Yeah, but that's because she's got reserves.
She does. She's got reserves. And also, people will go through the parking garage because they know where I live and just take them. And just, gone out of there. They take the magnet. And then it just becomes a lot.
But that's got to be your neighbors, though, because they can't get up to the floor that you park on.
Maybe she doesn't park on the same floor as me. Maybe different.
Well, you didn't have to say that.
Well, I mean, that happens to me, too. It's a thing. So enjoy Game of Magnets out there. And if you're new to the show, what that means is there's News Junkie magnets for different events. In fact, we got the Ultimate Pinewood Derby coming up soon. Working on the magnets right now. They are awesome. And there's a special flair to some of these magnets. Special flair to some of them. Probably my favorite design ever. And those are going to be in play for people who go out to the Ultimate Pinewood Derby. You're going to have an awesome time. You're going to hang out with us. You're going to see a unique, one-of-a-kind event that you can bring everybody out to and enjoy yourself. And that's when you can get in on one of these magnets. P.S. If you troll the parking lot at one of these places, I've heard that is just really, really a good way to get a whole bunch of them all at once. Here's Slow Ninja.
Hey, Sean, you wanted somebody to articulate why they think that you're a jerk?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I was curious while you were finishing off your handle of Morgan last night from your high rise, over your mini ocean. Did you give any thought to that girl's parents? You know?
Come on,
the
man.
The orphan's parents?
Yeah, I'm batting like at least
a
300
here.
Have
a great day. Love you guys. Bye.
Yes, one girl 5 years ago called, and I told her I'd find her parents, and I never found her parents. other than that, I've been pretty good at doing the thing.
That was a fun day when you said that.
All of the other things. Well, most of the other things have been accomplished. Back in just a moment with a priest, a burglar, and a punch in the face that ends in, well, I guess the least expected way I would imagine a story with a priest, a burglar, and a punch in the face would end. Stick around for the weird details in this one. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
You're listening to the News Junkie.
Junkie. Junkie.
Sean Wasson.
Some people are just coming completely unhinged in this debate that's going on about the kids in the cages, or however you'd like to put it, with the border situation, with families coming through. And all these children who have been stuck in the system, the vast majority of them sent alone or with somebody else that is not a family member, but some of them in families that get separated because of this zero tolerance policy. And there's word now that there'll be an executive order that'll be signed by the president, and it will detain families together, which goes back slightly to what the previous administration was doing on that, but will not end the zero tolerance policy, which says that everybody who comes across the border illegally is going to be prosecuted. You're going to face some actual charges, not civil charges, but actual charges in a courtroom. It's going to be an issue for you. So that's a good step, a step in the right direction, at least, where they're going to keep these families together. And now you're going to see where everybody else wants to go with this whole debate, this whole argument. Was it just about the kids, or was it about something bigger, a broader policy shift that they wanted? Was it about really making it so something else entirely unrelated to the kids was going to happen? You'll see more of that. And you're seeing some people who are completely breaking down. I mean, Peter Fonda, like the Secret Service are looking into him right now because of his tweets this morning. Peter Fonda, the famed actor, and this guy posted out. I mean, he's deleted some of the tweets now, but I've been seeing them throughout the course of the day. Calling Melania Trump some just vile things, worse than the feckless C word, mind you, taking it a step further than that. And also saying that they should take Barron Trump, that is President Trump's son with Melania Trump, mm-hmm. and put him in a cage full of pedophiles and see what happens when that goes down. If
okay.
that'll change it.
All right.
I mean, there's a lot more than that, too. There was just a whole unhinged storm.
It's not smart.
Right. So now they're looking into this. I am Fonda is his name on Twitter, but he's deleted a bunch of this stuff. Let me give you the exact tweet so I can tell you. Just make sure you're not completely losing it when you're hearing some of these pieces of information that maybe bother you because of how you, how you think politically or, you know, how you think about these children who I think are innocents in the situation. I don't think their parents are, but I think they are. He said we should rip Barron Trump from his mother's arms and put him in a cage with pedophiles and see if mother will stand up against the giant a-hole she's married to. 90 million people in the streets on the same weekend in the country. F that. I don't know exactly what he's getting at. I think he's talking about there's supposed to be some sort of event, a demonstration in the coming weeks. SS, which is what he's calling Sarah Sanders, is a lying... I didn't know the G word was a thing, but I don't know that I could say that.
G word.
G-A-S.
Gay. Gas.
Gasback. Gash-O.
Yeah. Sarah Sanders is lying one of those, too.
Is this a... is this the Daily Mail, or is this somewhere from the UK?
The article? I'm looking at his tweets. I'm looking at screenshots of his actual tweets right now.
Mm-hmm.
And they said, much worse than a C word. Maybe we should take her children away and deport her to Arkansas and give her children to Stephen Goebbels Miller for safekeeping. I mean, on and on and on.
Twitter.
He had a bit of a breakdown, it would seem.
I just like, what was life like before?
I think
what
it was better.
People have breakdowns? Did they just write into the paper and hope somebody went to that section? Or just like, did we do this to ourselves as humans? We created this part in our brain where we felt the need to say horrible, terrible things and put it on the internet for the world to see.
We're just inflamed by so much stuff and so much happens so fast. And then instead of having to take time to put a response out there, it takes just a second to tweet something out. and you're like, ah, to put Baron in a cage with pedophiles, and you don't go, you know what? That just even saying that makes me every bit as bad as the people that I'm angry at. You know, don't become the things you hate. If you want to be a good human and advance progress in life and make things more fair for more people, fairness I always find to be such an important thing. Make things more fair for more people and be a decent human being. You don't do that by doing the things your perceived enemies do on a daily basis. You don't do that by doing exactly that. You do it by being better, being an example for what's right and what's good, highlighting what you think is wrong, trying to get the message out, spreading the word in a peaceful way about these terrible things that you see as perceived injustices or outright injustices in life. And you don't do it by saying, put Trump's kid in a cage with pedophiles. It's not going to get you anywhere. And there's other things I'm seeing happening as a response that I'm worried about, too. For instance, there's a story going viral about a flight that carried some of these kids who were caught up in this situation. Now, I don't know if these were kids who didn't have families with them or if these were kids who were indeed with a family and they were split up. But they tracked it down via tail number. See, and you've seen all this stuff. With a website, it's not hard if you figure out when a plane went somewhere to figure out exactly what plane it was. Mm-hmm. You could track the tail numbers. You could follow all these flights with Flight Tracker and all these other different things that they have.
Unless they blocked it.
Yeah.
You know they block them for celebrities because I tried to look up some celebrity planes.
Really?
Like Oprah or John Travolta.
You can't do that?
Nope.
So you can do it if it's any kind of public aircraft, and you can see exactly where they're going, where they are, and all that stuff. And they did this with this flight that allegedly went into Miami with some of these immigrant children. And they found out that it was an American Airlines flight. And everybody started attacking American Airlines. And now American Airlines is saying, we're not going to do these governmental flights, which may be kids who need to go to a better facility. They may not be a kid being pulled away from their parents in the situation that's making everybody upset so emotionally. It may be the case that they need to get them out of other facilities that are flooded, and they really have no choice but to bring them to a place where they can get better care and more attention and be better looked after. And so they don't think about that. And American Airlines goes, we're not going to do this anymore. Now, hopefully other companies will be sensible enough to know that there's a role in this that doesn't make you a monster, and that you could be doing something good instead of something terrible. Otherwise, you create way more trouble than you're fixing. And it doesn't seem that difficult to me to understand this, but when things run away, we get so pissed off. It reminds me at the moment of the debate and something else that's always touchy to get into, and that's abortion. Now, I remember reading up on the story of Eric Rudolph, and Eric Rudolph was this anti-abortion advocate, and he was so wound up and all this stuff he was hearing about how these abortion doctors were killing all these babies, that it didn't matter that the things he were doing was so violent in nature. Didn't matter that he was blowing people up. Didn't matter the people in the city who agreed with him. They said, run, Rudy, run. It was on bumper stickers.
Run, run, Rudolph?
Run, Rudy, run. And this was a guy who was trying to kill people and attacking people, bombing people, doing all kinds of stuff. You get so wrapped up in the heated rhetoric, you forget who you are. You forget the right things to do. You forget to search for the truth over just something that confirms what you already believe. And you forget to take the extra steps to be a decent human being, no matter how bad the debate gets. It's a tough thing to do. I get it. I'm not perfect at it by any way, shape, or means. But you got to try it now more than ever. A priest was punched in the face by a burglar. Speaking of people not doing nice things. And it was during this event at the church. And this guy walks in. He said he runs into the burglar upstairs in the St. Thomas More Catholic Church. The suspect was working in a group that was there, entered about 11:30 p.m., made off with a television, a laptop, and a printer, stole from the damn church. All the doors are locked and the alarm system was armed when he broke in by pushing an air conditioning unit onto the ground, entering through a first floor window. So he goes up and the priest goes, who are you and what are you doing here? And the guy punches the priest right in the face.
Oh, man.
And the priest responds in a very priestly way. You have to give him credit for it. More details here.
Surveillance video shows Father Matthew Compton confronting a young man after chasing him to the back door of St. Thomas More Church Rectory. Minutes before this, Compton found the man in the hallway in front of his bedroom.
When you saw him in the hallway, what were you thinking?
My questions were, who are you and what are you doing here? And he punched me in the side of the head and took off running.
Sound effect. Good right here. I can see where the scars remain.
Yeah, he's got a big bruise on the side of his head, so he gets punched in the face. The guy stole credit cards, tried to use them within an hour. How's he feeling?
Compton would soon realize his wallet was taken.
Within an hour of the robbery, your cards were being used.
They could tell that there had already been an attempt to use it with one of the scanners that you attach to use your cell phone.
Heading downstairs, Father Compton saw how the person entered by removing an air conditioned unit and handing items to a possible accomplice.
Correct. Gave the laptop, the printer.
There's somebody else involved in this.
There's accomplices, and then he got his wallet, got the wallet straight out of Compton's pocket.
What a little ways for that.
You know, if you're going to tell him about the stories beforehand so he can come up with these fun little quips.
I didn't tell anything about this story.
Yeah, I have that too.
Also with you. Your sounds more like a clap.
Let's see. Play that again. That's a punch. That's a slap.
Whatever.
Sound effects fight. And the burglar who hit him just like that. Left an impression with this priest, but he's turning the other cheek.
Television all likely went through here.
While the TV was stolen from this guest room, the thief couldn't take this microwave and refrigerator that had been moved and later dusted
for
fingerprints.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Compton, who is the associate pastor of
was not expecting that this to randomly show a shot of him doing his pastor thing, his priest thing.
It catches you off guard.
St. Thomas More Church here in Wrightwood has this message for his attacker and thief.
I forgive him.
Oh.
And that I hope that somehow, whether turning himself in or somehow there will be a conversion in his life, because there's so much better he can do.
Good luck with that. I like that you're being so open-minded and you're being so forgiving. That's fantastic. And he's saying that despite what has happened to him here, he will continue on and try to turn the other cheek. Everybody's getting upset, not about the immigration stuff, but about the end. The end is nigh. Huh? The end for Game of Thrones.
Oh, no.
And these people are posting their final goodbyes as they get into character for the last time.
Oh, like the actors and actresses?
Uh-huh. And the one who plays Jon Snow, I guess, was so thrilled that he got to finally cut his hair off, which he had grown out for the entirety of this series. Which I don't know. I mean, I got to think that's been at least 8 years?
Yeah.
Game of Thrones has been going on for a while now.
It's between 3 and 9 years.
I'll find out here. It's been on for quite some time, many, many seasons of the show. And you got to stay looking like your character.
Right.
Let's see. It started in 2011 was the first year of Game of Thrones on HBO. And now here we are. It's going to end in 2019. So about 8 years they will have been in these characters. Had to keep the same kind of hair. Had to keep everything pretty much. They can't get a face tattoo.
Wow.
They look down on that.
So now he's called John Slush.
And now you have your opportunity to watch all of the Game of Thrones episodes, Sabrina.
John Snowmo.
And completely catch up before the end of this whole thing.
I've tried. I have plenty of opportunities. I just can't.
Mm-hmm.
I've watched the pilot episode about 15 times.
What is it you don't like? You don't like the
not that I don't like it.
Fantasy?
It's just not there. No, I love fantasy shows.
Do you like dragons?
Yeah. Daenerys, Lannisters. I'm very familiar. I think I'm just going to skip season 1 and 2.
You could do that. They have those recaps. Remember, those are always out there.
I think I'm going to do exactly what I did for The Sopranos. And that is, for the entirety of the TV series, the only episode I watch is the finale.
That'd be so confusing. I feel like it would really screw you up.
Didn't hate it.
All right. When we come back, a really, really, really awkward encounter in the worst possible place it could have happened. Plus, your final dispatches, stories that didn't make the cut. And today, I learned to wrap everything up for a Wednesday. It's the News Junkie on Real Radio.
We
We'd tell you to check out the app chat room, but those people are weird and mostly naked.
This is the News Junkie.
By the way, before we get into this this confrontation with Homeland Security Secretary, which I can't believe she decided to do what she did, but fine. Before we get into that, there's a lot of other players in the international community that are going to start poking their head into the debate about these immigrant children along the border and elsewhere in these facilities. And just know that when you hear from a lot of them, they don't necessarily have the best intentions. Sometimes they're trying to thumb their nose at our president for other reasons. Sometimes it's a negotiation tactic. Like, for instance, you see Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau getting into this now and going, it's disgusting and vile what the U.S. is doing, which, fine. Yeah, I mean, a lot of people are on board with giving a fix to this situation. But Canada has its own problems with this. Canada does imprison immigrants away from their families in certain cases, and it absolutely has happened in the last year alone to more than a couple of dozens of kids who are in that same situation. Families are imprisoned also in Canada when that happens, when it's immigration status issues that they're facing. And by the way, you have the United States of America between you and Mexico and Central America. So we kind of stem a lot of that flow up to your country. Just think about some of the other people getting involved in this and what their motivations may be. I cannot think of what the motivation was when the Department of Homeland Security Secretary Christian Nielsen went to a Mexican restaurant in Washington, D.C. last night. Now, all right, fine. Some of these people are coming from Central America. A lot of them are coming from Mexico still, too. And protesters spotted her at this Mexican restaurant, and it didn't go so well.
Night check!
Secretary Nielsen, how dare you spend your evening here eating dinner as you're complicit in the separation and deportation of over 10,000 children separated from their parents? How can you enjoy
this Mexican didn't go well.
As you're deporting and imprisoning tens of thousands of people who come here seeking asylum in the United States? We call on you to end family separation.
Family separation.
Oh, you got to let them know you're stopping right there. Otherwise, the chance won't work out for you. She had to get up and haul ass out of there.
You know, usually I would side with the diner because people who interrupt a meal for a lot of people, whether it's just one person, like, you know, when they're interrupting brunch,
when they're not targeting you in particular for something that they believe you've done, when it's just a blanket one, like when I was just eating brunch and I don't know what the hell's happening and you're ruining my brunch, I view that as a little different than if they're specifically targeting somebody.
But still, even if you're targeting somebody, it's annoying other people. It's being generally obnoxious. However, she should have known better.
Yeah, Mexican restaurant. Right.
This week?
This week,
we've spent 3 days arguing over this, and now you're going to eat at a Mexican.
Yeah, what can I do? Get Uber Eats, man. I just love those tacos.
It was almost like biting your tongue or biting your thumb at the folks who you knew were going to be upset at this. It was almost a shot across the bow at the people who are pissed off at you.
These burritos were made by illegals.
Yeah, I guess so. Maybe some of them. Let's get to the dispatches. Here is Square Slinger with a dispatch.
Hey, guys. Just wanted to tell you about the bombing run thing. I used to live in western Flagler County.
50 years.
And the planes would make their approach in that direction, so they'd come right over our houses. And you could actually see the pilot because they'd be that low. And I could care less about the 50 years of it, but I do remember it a little bit. Anyway, later.
Thank you. Here's Rusty.
Afternoon, everybody. Been a little bit since I've sent in a dispatch, but Sean, you piqued my interest.
What's that?
And no, it was not the kids. No, it was not any of the controversial stuff, such as the bombs. It was the Pinewood Derby.
Oh.
I hear you mentioning that, but I have not heard a mention of a brunch bus. Please tell me you're bringing that back.
We'll see.
That was amazing. Pretty sure that was actually my first live event where I started meeting everybody. Team Yellow Bus. It was awesome. Please tell me you're doing another bus out that way, man. Still anyway, later.
Finalizing everything now, getting all the dates and all the stuff in order. More information real soon about that. What are you what are you laughing about over there?
I'm keeping my mouth shut.
Here's Rob Ross.
I've been listening since you started, even before you started handing out magnets, and I've seen two magnets. One was stuck to a shelf in a van, and you could see it through the window. Oh. And the other was an upside-down holiday magnet that I didn't know was a News Junkie magnet until
it was ugly.
Too late. So it's far and few between, and I live in Altamont.
Well, you got to keep your eyes peeled. You'll encounter some more. The Christmas magnet was so ugly, he just didn't even want to try. A Kentucky couple locked their adult daughter in a cage filled with feces. What else do we have here in these stories that didn't make the cut? The U.S. withdraws from the U.N. Human Rights Council, calling it a protector of human rights and abusers. And this has long been kind of a complete joke. They have Saudi Arabia and Syria on the Human Rights Council, so I don't know that they were ever getting much done. Chris Hardwick released some text messages from this Chloe Dykstra woman who accused him of a bunch of stuff in a Medium post. An IBM computer debates humans and wins in a nuanced competition.
Why is IBM always winning everything?
They are making all the robots that are going to outsmart us.
They won Jeopardy, chess,
and
what's
now this,
next?
Now debates. Let's do Today I Learned.
The following information may make you feel smarter, but will not actually increase your IQ. So don't get cocky. Now it's time for what we call Today I Learned.
It is Today I Learned for a Wednesday, June 20th, 2018. We are way behind. Let's get into it. Today I Learned this movie. I don't know if I'd know this by the music.
Three Ninjas.
You're Kakarot.
You cockroach.
Oh,
doing a bunch of cocaine over
Scarface.
Here. No, that's the best I could do. Scarface.
Say hello to my little friend.
That's where I was headed next. Scarface was mostly filmed in Los Angeles as the Miami Tourism Board believed it would deter tourists, showing Florida as a haven for drugs and gangsters. So Miami didn't want to be part of the filming of Scarface, and they filmed much of it in a mansion in Santa Barbara, California.
Will Smith fixed all of that.
Tony's mansion was over there. Today I learned the University of Clemson had a student that conducted an experiment in identifying ways to help turtles successfully cross roads. He placed a fake turtle in the road to observe driver behavior and disturbingly found that 6% of people deliberately went out of the way to hit the turtle. So 94% of people are all right. The 6% just abject monsters. Today I learned this guy right here. Brand new album.
Lost
his mind a little bit on Twitter. Kanye West lived in China as a child while his mother taught in Nanjing. His mom reports he was a diligent student who picked up the language well. To this day, he still has some knowledge of Chinese. Well, I guess it would be Mandarin. Today, I learned the oldest drinking straw in existence. People are ditching these now. 3000 BCE is the oldest one in existence. In fact, I went to Santiago's bodega last night. They're ditching straws, too. They're doing what I talked about, though, where they're just not going to automatically give them to you.
Right, that's fine.
That makes the most sense, I think.
I looked up the corn-based straws. You can get 20,000 of them for a couple $100.
They're going for some bamboo ones, and they're expensive, I guess. There's just a lot of avenues for this. Today on this series...
James Bond
is correct. Daniel Craig is about to be the longest serving James Bond ever. He'll pass Roger Moore's record of 12 years once Bond 25 is released. And finally, today one of the guys from this band.
Ooh, Led Zeppelin.
Led Zeppelin is correct. Robert Plant of Led Zeppelin. We were just talking about Game of Thrones. He was offered a role in Game of Thrones. He said he didn't think it made sense for him to be in it. He kept going with his rock and roll stuff. And he's been doing that for a while with no Game of Thrones interruptions. Thank you so much for listening. We do appreciate it. Back tomorrow after the Monsters in the Morning. Stay put. The Phillips Files coming up next, followed by a Corporate Time with Tom and Dan. And it's all right here on Real Radio.